Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. We're 26 days out from Selection Sunday. The latest bracket projection from CBS Sports has 10 teams from the Big Ten in the Big Dance. Ohio State is one of the first four out. Buckeyes will be bubblicious for their final six games. OSU hosts Wisconsin tonight at 8:30. You can hear it on The Fan with coverage at 7:30. Junie Mobley likely out tonight after breaking his pinky finger on his shooting hand. Jake Diebler says they do expect Mobley to return before the Big Ten tournament. On the court last night, number six, Iowa State upset number two, Houston, 70-67. The 10th-ranked Ohio State women's squad plays at number 23, Minnesota, tomorrow night at 8. And it's the 14th day of Olympic competition. USA women's hockey plays Canada in the gold medal game on Thursday. Elvis Merzlikens and Team Latvia have Sweden today at 3:10. Winner gets the U.S. men's team on Thursday. This update is sponsored by Uber Eats. Uber Eats has a great deal waiting for you at El Vaquero from now until March 31st. Buy one quesadilla deal, get one free in the app. Terms apply.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Well, Reese came in, and he handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then,
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
Doing it live on a Tuesday. Hope your post-President's Day hangovers are treating you well. Eric Reeser, Ryan Baker. Isaiah's with us as well for the next 3 hours. If you're wondering to yourself, Eric, I haven't read anywhere where Junie Mobley broke the pinky finger on his shooting hand. Well, that actually came from President Ted Carter, Ohio State's president, talked with Dom Tabari. And this was a slap shot talking with Dommy about his confidence in Jake Diebler and the direction of the basketball program.
I think Jake in his second year has been doing a really good job as our basketball coach. We've been competitive in most of our games, even against, you know, number 15 UVA. Now you got John Mobley with his little pinky finger broken on a shooting hand, and yet Bruce Thornton, who is one of the nicest guys you're ever going to meet in your life, that guy should be in the NBA. I want to see him get into the tournament more than anything. They've still got a chance. They still got to play some big games. They got to play Wisconsin. They got to play Purdue. We're going to have to get a win or two out of there for us to get in. And we probably got to win at least a game or two in the Big Ten tournament.
That summarizes things pretty well with the current state of Ohio State men's basketball and a stamp of approval from the top man at The Ohio State University. Baker, good morning. When you hear him kind of walk through all of that with the basketball Buckeyes, who, again, as you heard the update anchor, have a big one tonight against Wisconsin. It's a must win. What do you think of when you hear him say that?
Well, first of all, doesn't he know we're not allowed to talk about injuries? Now, when John Mobley Jr. comes back, everybody's going to be trying to slap his shooting hand.
Well, like blood and, you know, to break the his water finger with again. Sharks. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably fair.
We can't talk about that kind of stuff, Teddy.
He's the boss.
I don't know. He's stating the obvious, right? Like, yes. We all can see that. We all can see what's going on with the basketball program right now. And last time I checked, close isn't good enough. And if we were talking about a football team, then, man, they were close. They've been close every year to making the college football playoff. Just, you know, a couple things here or there. They've been competitive. I have a feeling we'd have a town that would be losing its mind. And right now, there are a select few that are losing their mind with Ohio State basketball because it has been 3 years without a tournament appearance, maybe teetering on the edge of a fourth year here without making an appearance. I would rather hear, and there will be more in the interview with Ted Carter. And if you want to go listen to the whole interview, we'll play a lot of it today. But if you want to listen to the whole thing, it's over on 10 TV Plus. If you'd like to go check out Dom's interview with Top Gun Teddy. But I'd rather us, let's not tell us where we are. Let's tell us where we're going, like how we're going to fix it, how we're going to get where we want to get with it.
And I think that's more of something that needs to be answered by Jake Diebler and his players on the court, right? This is a results-based business. And yesterday, you know, Austin and I were talking about what Gus Johnson had said back on Saturday's broadcast in their loss to Virginia in Nashville, where they weren't, Gus made it seem like they just weren't giving any money to the basketball program. And we all know that's not the case. They're not a poverty program, Ohio State men's basketball. They're never going to be a poverty program. But comments will play coming up here in about 15 minutes, or I'd say in about half an hour, actually, from Jake Diebler, have me a little frustrated with the allocation of resources and the lack of transparency therein.
And Reese, you say that, right? But Austin said an interesting word yesterday, and he didn't elaborate on it, but he said it's all relative with Ohio State and the money they're spending.
Sure.
Yeah, we know that they're spending money on the basketball program. And you and I don't know the exact number that Ohio State is spending on their basketball program. But from all of the reporting from people who might be in the know that you see, Ohio State is anywhere from 12th to 14th in spending in the Big Ten. That's the bottom third of the conference in basketball. So relatively, they're not spending.
That's bad.
A lot of money on the basketball program. So, and I hate that people are going to put me in a position to stick up for Gus Johnson, because I feel like I've been the leader of the Gus Johnson bandwagon as far as not liking Gus Johnson for a long, long time. But I think what he said is right in the fact that Ohio State would rather give $12 million to Ryan Day, and they would rather pay for a football program and put as much of their resources as they can into the football program and have a football program that's top five in the country and battling for a national championship every year than giving some of that money to a basketball program and have a basketball program that can get in the NCAA tournament most years, possibly make a run, than a football program that might not make the college football playoff. And I know that's hard to imagine with Ohio State, but in the world that we're in, and Ross Bjork said as much the other day, they're not taking money away from football.
No.
They're looking to find more ways to raise money for the basketball program, but they're not taking anything away from football.
Yeah, it's the thing with what Ohio State has unique to most other universities is that 36 varsity sports. And so where you're not taking money away from anybody, you've got that $20.5 million, I want to say, is right now the soft cap plus what you can get from the collectives. It just goes to me, if you are a coach or if you're the athletic director and you are pointing to allocation as not being where you think it should be or not there with other teams in the Big Ten, and you're using that as an excuse for why the results aren't on the court, then I do think we need to see where those resources are going. I think some transparency in that would be very, very helpful for a fan base that is teetering on apathy. You're never going to get apathy with the football program. And I think to your point about where Ohio State's going to allocate as much as humanly possible towards the football team and everybody else gets the rest. Well, football's the main money driver here at Ohio State. It's always been that way.
For sure. It's paid for 36 sports for the most part for a long time. And Reese, when you're spending that much money on your basketball program, as little as you are, it makes it much more important for you to spend that money wisely.
The allocation is so
important. You cannot work out of a desperation situation, which I think they have here a couple of times with maybe overpaying a couple guys just because you've got to have someone. And then you also have to have your plan in place with what you want to do. So Jake Diebler's first year, you decide to go after the high-end potential.
Mm-hmm. Big five-star.
You go for Aaron Bradshaw, and you go for Sean Stewart. And I know a lot of people still are poo-pooing Aaron Bradshaw, but he's had a pretty good run here recently with Memphis. The back half of the season, I think the last two games he struggled a little bit, but he had gone 8 of 9 games in double figures for a while for Memphis. Sean Stewart, it's not working out for him at all at Oregon.
No.
But you've got to commit, right? You can't change it year after year. And they tried to go with the potential. Now it looks like they're going to go for the proven product, the more experience, which a lot of college basketball is doing. It's probably the way you should in the transfer portal do that. Unfortunately, they didn't do that the first year. So it just makes it, you're not spending enough, and then you're spending the wrong way. That really magnifies the problem.
It builds, right? So where you are spending in the lower portion of the Big Ten, and then when the money that you're spending goes to players that you don't even trust to shoot the basketball, it just amplifies the issues. Of the many things that Ted Carter talked with Dom Tiberi about, and again, Domi's going to join us at 10:30. We're going to get Scooney Penn coming up at 11:30. He's going to give his thoughts on where the basketball program is relative to the conversations that we've had, the conversations that we will continue to have, which you'll hear from Jake Diebler coming up at 9:30. But this, for me, was the most important thing from Ted Carter yesterday, talking to Dom Tiberi.
I love rivalries. I grew up with Army-Navy. I love the game, and I don't think it should move. I think it should be the Saturday of Thanksgiving. And, you know, God willing, we only play it once. You know, we don't have to play it in a conference championship or in a national championship. But if we do, then we do. But I'll always advocate to have that game at the end of the year.
Slapshot talking about the ultimate rivalry in sport, Ohio State and Michigan. And I know there's been so much conversation as you look to expand the college football playoff from 12 to 16 and then to 24 per Tony Petitti's new proposal. It's like, what do you do with the Ohio State and Michigan game? I don't think you do anything with it. And I'll explain a little bit more coming up next. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
The only workplace in America to participate in the Doorknob Fart Game. And we also play office basketball and sometimes do radio. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, what's up? It's Tebow.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURN.
And then Timmy.
We are bums.
We are bums.
I'm wearing a quarter zip today, and people are saying, oh, you got a job interview? No, I'm doing TV with Dom.
Common Man and Timmy, afternoons on The Fan, is sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company.
Hey, it's T-Bone again.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURN.
And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly cloudy skies for us today with temperatures getting in the mid to low 50s. And then for tonight, we'll have a slight chance of showers overnight. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with lows in the 40s and winds starting to pick up out of the south. We'll see gusty winds in the forecast for Wednesday with scattered showers. Otherwise, cloudy with gradual clearing and highs soaring into the mid 60s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
The two most mature people working at the radio station. And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skivvies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan. Keep your friends close and your producers closer. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Yes, you are. Eric Reeser, Ryan Baker, Isaiah Jacob rolling along with you until noon. You heard a couple comments from Ohio State's president, Ted Carter, in the first segment of the program, and we kind of left you with his thoughts on the Ohio State-Michigan game. The positioning of the game has been a topic of conversation for years. It will continue to be. I think as we get further into playoff expansion, you're probably going to shy away from conference championship games. At least that's what's in the new Big Ten proposal. Tony Petitti had it circulating last week. ESPN broke the story Friday morning. They want to get to 24 in a college football playoff by 2029, 16 and 27, 16 and 28. It'll be 12 this season. You will have the conference championship game this season, but it remains to be seen how long that goes for. And I've heard forever that the Ohio State-Michigan game, boy, would that be a shame to play the very next week. And I push back because I don't think it matters. You play the game, in my opinion, the very last game for Ohio State in the regular season, the very last game for Michigan in the regular season. That's where the game should be played. Forget what happens the very next week. If they play again in the Big Ten Championship, fine. We haven't seen it happen, and it's very unlikely the further we get into the 2020s and into 2030. It's probably not going to happen. If they meet up in the playoff, fine, they meet up in the playoff. But that, for me, for my entire life, has been the final game of the season, and I think it should stay that way because we're losing so many other traditions. I would just like to keep one, please.
Yeah, and none of these guys care about traditions in the long run. They just care about making the most money. But you're right. This hasn't happened yet. and it could have. We thought it would have happened by now. We thought these two teams would have played in a Big Ten championship or would have maybe met up in a college football playoff, but it hasn't. I don't think it's ever going to be the next week, Reese, because as you mentioned, it sure looks like conference championships are going away.
And that's good.
And I'm guessing that's why maybe they're like, well, let's have 16 for 2 years and then go to the 24 instead of just jumping to 24 if that's what they want, because they have contract obligations, TV obligations with those conference championship games. I believe the Big Ten's is through 2028, if I remember correctly on that. So, again, you're going to replace inventory with other inventory, so it's all going to be okay. Yep. And all of this with that side of things, even though I don't love the expanded playoff. But, yeah, there's no reason to change it. Because the chances of it happening, especially year in, is it going to happen once or twice?
Maybe.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen every year. So we don't need to change something that, again, we don't have a lot of traditions left, unfortunately. Let's leave at least one alone.
And, you know, with the theme of change, you saw Monday LSU unveiling its partnership with Woodside Energy for a jersey patch. The logo is going to match the school's purple and gold color scheme, and it'll be featured on all 21 of LSU's varsity uniforms starting in 26-27. So that academic calendar, you're going to have logo patches or jersey patches on all of their uniforms. And so that's probably coming to Ohio State. I know I've heard Ross talk about it, where they're in conversation now about getting something for the football team. And that's probably something that if they don't sell it for just the football team, a company comes in and wants to just sponsor maybe a couple teams with the jersey patch. But you've got to find new places to make money. And there's going to be an initial, oh, that looks like crap in terms of the jersey patch on Ohio State's uniforms. I think fans will get over it pretty quickly.
I disagree with that.
Yeah?
Because we get patches for bowl games all the time. I don't think you're even going to notice it.
You don't think people care at all?
I think they're going to care, but I think they're ridiculous for caring in this instance. I'm guessing it's going to be something with Ohio State to make more money. You're going to sell all 36
individually uniform patches. Or as
no,
one
you're going
package.
To sell them all as one, like LSU did. The Woodside Energy is going to be on all 21 jerseys they have. And if you look at the pictures, they have renditions out there of it. I don't even think you're going to notice it. And I'll use this. The Columbus Aviators dropped their uniforms yesterday. And no bull is the sponsor, the apparel sponsor for the UFL.
Yep.
There's a no bull logo that I believe is bigger than this Woodside Energy patch. I think the patches for the jerseys have to be within a 4-inch thing. This no bull looks bigger. I didn't even notice it at first until I read the article about Noble being the sponsor and that they would have a patch on the jersey. And then I went back and I saw, oh, there it is on both the home and away jersey. I think it's something you're not even going to notice.
And
especially if they have it within the color scheme of the jersey, you're never even going to see it.
And 90% of the game, you're seeing it from the top view anyway. Like, when are you going to notice that on the jersey when they zoom in on it, I guess? But, I mean, if you think about NBA jerseys, they have sponsorships everywhere and you don't even think about it. And when it gets to the selling portion too, if you want to buy a jersey, it's not going to be on there. And so when you buy your jersey, it's not going to have it on there. When you watch the games, you won't notice from the 70-foot up view. When it closes in after a touchdown, when they zoom in on the players, you might see it then, but realistically you won't.
I saw with the Aviators yesterday, they've got the baby blue homes or the kind of darker blue home jerseys and then the white away uniforms. I wonder if sometime this season they do, you know, something scarlet and gray, where they get Ohio State's permission and they do an alternate. Be a good
probably not the first season, but maybe moving forward.
Yeah.
I did think that was kind of interesting yesterday, and I had never thought about it before. Huh. Why are they blue in Columbus? Why wouldn't you lean into the be a little more scarlet here on this uniform? But the uniforms look nice. They're very cool. If you haven't seen them, check them out. Yeah,
971 BFS. We have them posted. So Ted Carter spoke with Dom Tiberi, and the jersey patch thing, the college football playoff expansion, all goes to schools needing to make more money to pay for the players, to pay for facility upgrades, to pay for ever-increasing coaching staff budgets. Here's Ohio State's president asked if he's worried about NIL in college sports and where things are going.
I am worried, and I'll just say right up front, I'm not trying to make a headline. It's not sustainable. I mean, if you look at their trajectory of when we started, with the House versus the NCAA and where we've just gone in the last couple of years. Yes, we're moving them out of third party to more interior. We've got this College Sports Commission that's supposed to help vet all this. It is not sustainable over the next 3 years unless something changes. Now, that said, Ohio State is still competitive. There's only about five schools in the country that can play at this level right now in terms of NIL. Fortunately, we're one of them. But even at that level, especially we want to field a really good men's basketball team, a women's basketball team, and compete in other sports like ice hockey, it's not sustainable. Something's going to have to give.
And so when he brings up all of those issues, I think the most reasonable follow-up is, how do you stop this from getting out? It's interesting he says the next 3 years, as if it hasn't been something that's been out of control for the last 3 years. But here's President Carter on how he thinks the royal we, should keep NIL from getting out of control.
I think there's going to have to be some rules that are put up, like bumper pads on the bowling alley, to kind of make sure that you're not throwing the gutter ball. And, you know, that hasn't happened yet. I mean, whether it be at the NCAA level, whether it be to the conference commissioners through the university presidents and chancellors getting together, or even legislation coming out of the government, something's going to have to accelerate this so before it gets too far out of control, which some people would argue it already is now.
Yeah, whenever you bring up the federal government and all of this, you lose me. Like, they're the bodies that he mentioned, the NCAA, the College Sports Commission, and the federal government, have all tried at various stages to put guardrails on this, and it's not working. Then he brings up athletic directors and school administrators, and they need to work with the coaches, and they need to work with their counterparts in the other universities, in their conference, and then in the SEC. Like, the Big Ten and the SEC need to get together with schools, with their coaches and their athletic directors, and figure this out, and figure out what you're going to do with all of these rules if they're not followed. Because there's no enforcement arm right now, despite what the NCAA and the College Sports Commission want to tell you. And just parroting the same talking points on how to fix it isn't actually a solution.
And I'd also like, what are you doing, Ted? What are you and Ross and the Ohio State University, what are you guys actively doing right now? What would you like to see happen? What is your solution to fixing this? Like, throw your weight around here, Ohio State, and help get this thing fixed.
It's one of four universities that can really throw their weight around, right? Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, maybe Oregon. And then you go to your contemporaries in the SEC and say, this is how we've got to fix this. And it has to be on us, and it can't just be on these other bodies that are just, so far, been good at kicking the can down the road.
But Reese, why would we expect them to fix it? Because just with football in the playoff, the SEC and the Big Ten alone, so we're not encompassing all of the NCAA. This is just two conferences, and obviously they're big conferences, but the SEC and the Big Ten can't agree on a college football playoff. So why do we think they're going to be able to fix all of the NCAA?
I don't know. I don't expect anything to come from fixing or putting guardrails on this. I think he talks about bowling and bumper bowling, and I just don't think there are guardrails that can be put on it, because you have to have a punishment if someone goes over or around those guardrails. Ted Carter was also asked by our Dom Tiberi about players and maybe an employment status.
Well, it'll be a conversation for sure, and it may happen, you know, coming out of the White House, for all we know. I mean, there could be a commission put together that will talk about how does this play out. I'm a big believer that we don't want to make our athletes employees, because I think ultimately they lose. They lose things like scholarship. There'll be much less incentive to graduate and get a degree, which is something that we hold dear. They could lose support for medical care after they leave a program. So I just see more downside to becoming an employee or becoming unionized than the upside. And then depending on states and employee rules, you might have to actually apply for some of these positions. So, you know, be careful what you wish for. The second, third order effects are not going to be what you like.
You imagine Julian Sain having to submit an application to be Ohio State's starting quarterback?
And, you know,
a CV and a resume.
You know what, though? We laugh at it, but he makes some really good points at the end there. And unfortunately, we only look at this through a major college basketball and a college football
sure.
lens on this. And most of these kids going at Ohio State to play football, most of them aren't given a rip about school. And probably a lot of these high-end basketball talents across the country, they're not given a rip about school. But we got to think about these other sports, too. And we don't think about them because they don't generate money. But not a lot of these ice hockey players, maybe more now because they can earn NIL money in college. But before, like these women's ice hockey players, I don't think they're going to go to their pro league, at least right now, and make a ton of money. I don't know about these baseball players, how many of them are going to make a lot of money. So he does make some sense there in some of that. And this is not going to be beneficial for every student athlete.
And I think that's, you know, to our conversations about the separation of the sports that generate the revenue and the sports that don't generate the revenue. I think it's an easier path than just to group them all together, because football can't be operating within the same parameters. It can't be playing in the same sandbox as women's hockey. And, you know, this, despite the success, I think there are 12 Buckeyes, former Buckeyes, that are on the final four teams in women's hockey. Now, there's just two. There's USA and Canada, which it feels like it's going on the men's side as well. Those players and those athletes can't be operating or can't be in the same kind of governance as football, as basketball, as those revenue generating sports. Gus Johnson, we talked about his comments back on Saturday. Jake Diebler addresses that situation. You'll hear from him next. It's Bishop and Friends.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Here's what's up on a Tuesday. The basketball Buckeyes look to get on the right side of the bubble. Most bracketology projections have Ohio State one of the first four teams out of the big dance, or about 26 days away from Selection Sunday. A big opportunity for Ohio State tonight against Wisconsin. Tip-off is at The Shot at 8:30. We'll have pregame coverage on The Fan at 7:30. So in their four-point loss to Virginia in Nashville from this past Saturday, it was midway through the first half. I'm sure by now you've either heard or read the comments from Gus Johnson that basically accused Ohio State of being a poverty program when it comes to men's basketball, of giving all of the money to Ryan Day. And there's some truth to it. I do think he means that the allocation of Ohio State's NIL has gone mostly to the football program, as it should. But Jake Diebler, after his show yesterday, held court with reporters. And I want to say this was Adam Jardy that asked him the question about Gus's comments.
All information is inaccurate information, right? Like that, there's an element to NIL that's hidden. And, you know, so everything you see or read, whether it's, you know, regardless of who it's from, we're not speaking specifically to us right now. There's a lot of inaccurate information out there. The one thing that I know, Adam, is, you know, Ohio State is a really special place. And we got a part of what makes Ohio State special is the fact that we got a big time athletic department that strives for excellence in 36 sports. And there's no question that, you know, football is a major, major financial driver, you know, to the operation here. Right. The other thing that is also true is that, you know, I know Ross, his team, myself, We are working and really have been working relentlessly to continue to push and increase our NIL situation. This landscape has been evolving right in front of our eyes.
And the unfortunate thing with that last thing that he said is that there are other schools you see out there that are succeeding, that are thriving in an ever-changing NIL landscape. And if you, the head coach of your team, of the basketball team, is going to say, you know, not all numbers are accurate, maybe some transparency on how you are spending what you have would be helpful. You know, it goes back to the thing with Joey Aguilar, where the judge in Tennessee was like, all right, well, you've got to prove that you're going to be losing out on $2 to $4 million if that's the claim that you're going to be making. If you go to the we can't spend as much and football school hurts the basketball school and what can be spent, then maybe some transparency would help. It might. Now, this is still going to be based off of results. And the results have to matter paramount to everything, because Ohio State is always, I believe, going to have enough money to field a competitive team, an NCAA tournament team. Because everything he did mention about Ohio State and the Ohio State University is solid. You add in NIL, because again, Anthony Thompson's not coming here for free. Junie Mobley didn't stay for free. Devin Royal didn't. They all got raises. It's year in, year out. You should be participating in the NCAA tournament regardless, in my opinion.
And we can argue, and this is for another day, but we can argue if that money was spent well on those guys they retained. Was it just out of desperation? We've got to have these guys rather than somebody else. So we're going to, that's where you really have to have your plan and stick to it when you don't have the resources going to your program that others. I will push back on one thing you said there with some other teams are thriving in it. I don't think other teams in basketball are thriving with it. That also has a football program that is thriving, like Ohio State's. One could argue Michigan, and we know Michigan has Larry Ellison and Dave Portnoy, who have both of those guys have a lot of money and are putting money into those programs. Alabama basketball has been pretty good, but their football program has taken a step back. So I will argue, I don't know if there's anybody like Arizona's really good at basketball. Not great at football.
And it's
Houston's really good at basketball. They're not great at football. So I would Texas Tech maybe thriving a little bit. And we know they've got billionaire oil money over there. So I would just push back a little bit. I don't know how many people right now in the landscape are doing it well at both.
Not as well as you would like, I guess, is the way I'm going to phrase it, because Michigan's not shortly removed from a national championship. Illinois, I do think for the football aspect of it, you see a lot of money, and the coaching has a lot to do with it.
But Illinois isn't where Ohio State is at football. I mean, they're not making the college football playoffs.
Certainly not, but they are a ranked football team. And they are one of those teams that you think going into the season, they should make a push, especially if you expand the thing. So I think it's all of that, right? Where you can't just lean on, we don't have enough money to spend. Coaching and allocation, I keep going back to it. Allocation's the biggest thing for me, because what have you spent on? Have they contributed on the basketball court? There's three Mr. Ohio basketball players on this roster. They didn't come here for free. They didn't stay for free. What was the money spent on them, and are you getting the return on the basketball court? So questions you'll have to ask in the offseason in regards to how you're spending on your roster, because who you have is who you have. And right now for Ohio State, not going to have Junie Mobley tonight against Wisconsin, not going to have Brandon Knoll. Both of those players they'd like to have back before the end of the season. You'd think Brandon Knoll, you think with both of them, but here's Diebler talking about John Mobley.
We're really confident in that. You know, as far as exactly when that is, we don't know yet, but I think everything's moving according to plan. He's working really hard to get back out there as fast as he can. But as far as an exact date, we don't have that part yet.
Only got six games left. Only six opportunities before the Big Ten tournament. Ohio State 0-6 against top 25 teams this season. In that one opportunity they had against Virginia, you played 30 minutes of good basketball, but you were outscored 17-7 in the final 10. And you'd like to see, you know, Amari Bynum take another step. He was great against Virginia, but guys like Devin Royal, who we talked about, they've got to contribute more if you're to beat this Wisconsin team tonight. I don't know if tonight's game counts as a quad one win right now. Ohio State's only got one of them, and it was kind of gifted to them.
But it's not a quad one anymore.
It's not anymore?
Because Northwestern has fallen into a quad two, so.
The fluctuation is a problem. And as I look against Wisconsin now, the Badgers do have a number next to their name. So, again, opportunities for Ohio State. You can become now 1-6 against teams in the AP top 25. It's going to take more than Bruce tonight against the Badgers. Here's Jake Diebler talking about the rematch with Bucky.
Yeah, we got to guard the ball and do a better job of taking away the three-point line. We didn't do it good enough in that in the first half. You remember they had a guy come off the bench and hit a bunch of threes. But they're so dynamic in transition with their guard play that taking care of the ball as part of your transition defense, making sure that we keep the ball out of the paint early in possessions is going to be really important against them. We didn't do that well enough in the second half. But there's some things that they do that you can anticipate, you know, every single game. And, you know, they are who they are, and I think we got to do a better job of taking them out of some of their and be a little more disruptive this time around.
This is a team you lost to in Wisconsin earlier this year by 10.
Yep.
This is also a Wisconsin team that beat Michigan, handed Michigan one of their is that Michigan's only loss on the year? I believe it is their only loss to Wisconsin. They have a backcourt duo of Blackwell and Boyd that are dynamic, and they crushed you the last time. And your backcourt of Thornton and Mobley pretty good, but you don't have half of that tonight.
Right.
So it's going to be an uphill battle for the Buckeyes team tonight against this Wisconsin team that has been playing decently here recently. They just beat Illinois. They beat Michigan State in their last two games. They did have a loss to Indiana in there. So going to be an uphill climb tonight.
And then you've got Michigan State coming up. I believe that game is on Sunday in East Lansing. It's a 1 o'clocker on CBS. But then there's Iowa, Purdue, Penn State, and Indiana on the schedule. So somewhere you've got to find a ranked upset, maybe two. And then you have to beat Iowa, Penn State, and Indiana. And two of the three will be tall tasks for this team if they're not 100% healthy. The Browns got some news this morning. The franchise tag window is open today. Will they follow suit from last year? We'll discuss next. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan.
Men, we all know.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Morning Juice is now live on YouTube. Join Bobby Carpenter and Jeff Thedoff weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
Just search 971 The Fan to catch the live experience or watch on demand.
The Fan.
When it comes to truck,
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The uncle you never knew you had.
The friends you kind of wish you didn't. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, before we get to some Browns defensive coordinator news, no real update on Ronnie Hickman other than what the Browns had said yesterday, where he's treated for minor injuries in an area hospital, was later released, and is at home resting with his family. This was early Monday morning in New York. It's reported that Hickman was jumped by four people at a Manhattan hotel. We'll provide any breaking details on that, but it does seem that he's just resting and everything should be okay. That's a terrifying incident, especially the time of the day that it occurred. Browns yesterday also announcing that Falcons defensive passing game coordinator Mike Rutenberg will be their new defensive coordinator, replacing Jim Schwartz, who resigned from that post last week. The 41-year-old Rutenberg will likely continue to run the Browns attacking 4-3 scheme, which he's got some experience in. There were three finalists, Baker, for that DC job. You had Jason Tarver, who I know Bo and a couple other people had liked for that, and Texans defensive passing game coordinator Corey Undlin. So yesterday it was those two. It was Tarver and Undlin who were going to be the guy. I had not heard a single thing about Rutenberg until the news actually came out where he was the guy.
And it was kind of surprising seeing the news to me because Bo had seemed to think that it was going to be someone in-house, that he mentioned Tarver a lot, and he had mentioned one other guy on staff too, that he said that both of them would have no problem continuing to run that Jim Schwartz style of defense. It sounds like that Rutenberg really impressed Todd Monken in his very first interview, which kind of got the ball rolling on this. And I guess that's why you do these interviews, right? You never know who you're going to connect with, who you're going to impress. And you also never know what it could lead to down the line as well. The Browns defense is the one thing that I would think I'm pretty confident about this Browns team heading into next year, as long as the pieces on the field are still in place. And hopefully Ronnie Hickman is okay and this doesn't affect him at all moving forward. Doesn't sound like it will. At this point, I'm going to trust Todd Monken that if this guy really impressed him, then this is the guy moving forward. And like I said, I think this defense is going to be fine regardless.
Yeah, I do wonder, and this from Cleveland.com, Rutenberg was the only one without NFL coordinator experience, but as you said, impressed Monken during their initial video interview and day-long in-person session. So this was this past Sunday where he went to Berea to actually have that interview. If during that, are they giving him the essay? Or is that just an Andrew Berry thing? The essay and the personality test. Like, hopefully Munkin sees through all that nonsense, just puts X's and O's in front of him and says, okay, here's what we have defensively. Here's what we're looking to do. You know, whether it's drafting defensive talent like such like you did last year. I know they've got several players that are looking for maybe a contract extension, or whether I saw CBS Sports said they were going to franchise tag Devin Bush. I think there were only two players you had mentioned last year that even got the franchise tag from all 32 NFL franchises. So I don't even know what that would look like. I think like the linebacker tag is $27 million.
That would seem like a lot for Devin Bush.
I read the same thing. I'm like, oh, then they probably just won't use it or don't have to use it on anybody. If look, it's there, but you don't have to. They're not putting the gun to your head and say, no, you got to use this franchise tag. We were talking with Tyvus before the show because our conversation yesterday about what the Browns could do at six, whether Carnell Tate or Caleb Downs sits there for them. He seemed to like the idea more now, kind of knowing the past with Rutenberg and kind of his tree stemming from a Joe Woods type of defense, or at least the scheme that Rutenberg would like to run would make it more appealing to have Caleb Downs there. I'm all for it.
I'm all for it too. And I personally don't believe Caleb Downs will be there at six, quite frankly. I understand he's a safety, but everybody has said he's the best player in this draft.
Yeah.
I just don't see him getting to six. I think Caleb Downs is going to go in the top five. Now, maybe he won't. Maybe the position that he plays is just not valuable enough. And they're, I think the Cleveland Browns are going to have a really hard decision at number six, if they get there and Caleb Downs and Carnell Tate are both still available, because the Browns definitely do have positions of need on this team, and wide receiver may be number one. They need talent in that wide receiver room. They also need help on the offensive line. So while I'm not big on passing on the best available player in the draft, if the Cleveland Browns drafted an offensive tackle, or if they drafted a wide receiver, I could understand that at six with Caleb Downs still on the board. I think that Carnell Tate, Caleb Downs dilemma, if it happens at six with the Browns, is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, I do think if one of the teams two through five takes Carnell, then absolutely Caleb Downs. I'd be okay with either. I do think for Carnell Tate, he feels more than Mekhi Lemon, more than Denzel Boston, more than some of the other receivers that would be available in that 24 spot, a guy ready to go day one. And I understand the quarterback situation in Cleveland being what it is, whether or not they go in and bring a veteran out of free agency, they're not going to pay a ton for him. So the Malik Willis thing makes no sense just from a, can we afford this player standpoint relative to what he can get on the open market? I doubt it. So I think you have affordable veteran, I'm hesitant to say cheap, affordable veteran, Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, and Deshaun Watson is your quarterback room going into next year. And I think for Munkin, he's going to want to see, can one of these quarterbacks be something? And I think the best way to see that is providing them with the best talent. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, driving or listening to this program, none of those quarterbacks have any talent. The three that I mentioned, and even a veteran, none of those guys are going to be the future for the Browns. And I lean in agreement with you. But for Munkin, that's a different conversation.
And it feels like they just have to get a difference maker there. And no matter which way they go, whether it's Downs, whether it's Tate, even offensive line, it feels like they can't go wrong when they make the pick. But the thing that's going to hurt is if they don't take Tate, and then he immediately turns into Egbuka or Ja'Marr Chase or whoever you want to use as your comp for NFL wide receivers, that's going to hurt us, because for the fans, that'll be the most obvious loss. Wide receivers, those skill positions, are the most obvious loss.
Yeah.
And so the front office right now, in the place that they are where they need to create excitement for the team, bring an offense that has been dead for so long. Like, I don't see how going away from Tate there makes much sense. But if they went offensive line or they went Caleb Downs, I feel like there's a lot of can't-miss prospects in that area.
I think the one thing I will say about that, though, is their first two picks this past year, they drafted Mason Graham and Carson Sweshinger, and especially in the Carson Sweshinger case, I don't know if anybody's thinking, oh, they should have drafted this offensive player over Carson Sweshinger. I know that was a second-round pick, but you can only ignore your wide receiver room so long. It doesn't matter who your quarterback is if they don't have anybody to throw the football to. And I was never the biggest David Njoku fan, but he was one of your better weapons to throw the ball to. He said he's not going to be back. So right now you're working with Jerry Jeudy and Harold Fannin, and that's pretty much it to throw the ball to. So I do think, like you said, no matter what it is, it's got to be a difference maker, whether that's a safety, whether that's a wide receiver, whether that's an offensive tackle. It's someone that needs to come in and push for rookie of the year on whatever side of the ball they're on.
And if they don't go wide receiver at 6 and somehow they don't go wide receiver again at 24, that's when I'll start to really, really question what we're doing.
It feels like every month we have a, what are they doing? What are they doing? What is it they're actually doing? It's a monthly thing. I mean, you're going to be looking next week at the scouting combine that starts Monday in Indianapolis. There's going to be something that the Browns do. You think to yourself as a fan, like, what are they doing? The window for the franchise tag, they're having discussions. They can start today with players through Tuesday, March 3rd. Then NFL free agency unofficially begins at March 9th. That's like the legal tampering thing. And then officially March 11th for that. So all of those dates that I just mentioned are dates I think we're likely as Browns fans to be like, the heck are they doing? What exactly are they doing up there? But we'll be back tomorrow from his trek to California. So I'm sure he'll have some clarity on what Cleveland's been doing. And then as we get closer to the NFL scouting combine, I know Cleveland's going to send him out there, likely to scout some Carnell Tate or Caleb Downs. Figure what they do with that 6th overall pick in the draft at the end of April in Pittsburgh. We'll do the real truth coming up next. Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
1, 2, 3. Here at The Fan, it's always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan. Get
it. For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reese. Sir, the Basketball Buckeyes look to get on the right side of the bubble, hosting Wisconsin tonight at 8:30. You can hear that game on The Fan with coverage at 7:30. Buckeyes 16-9 overall, 8-6 in Big Ten play. Most bracket projections have Ohio State out of the big dance. A win tonight would move them to 1-6 against AP top 25 teams. The Badgers are 24th in the country. Buckeyes are at number 15, Michigan State, on Sunday. In NFL news, the Browns hired former Falcons defensive coach Mike Rutenberg to be their new defensive coordinator. The NFL's franchise tag window is open through March 3rd. Free agency in the league begins on Monday, March 9th. 11 Buckeyes are headed to Indianapolis next Monday for the scouting combine, and it's the 14th day of Olympic competition. USA Women's Hockey has Canada in the gold medal game Thursday at 1:10. Elvis Merzlikens and Team Latvia have Sweden today at 3:10. Winner gets Team USA. This update sponsored by Germain Toyota for unbeatable service and sales. Visit Germain Toyota on the corner of I-70 and Bryce Road or online at germaintoyota.net.
First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
I'm out of breath. They call that hitting the post.
Did a good job.
A little clunky, because you got to pot up that last part of the sports update, Beds. Good job out of you, Isaiah, Reeser, Baker, the aforementioned Isaiah, rolling along with you on this Tuesday edition of the program. Bo's back from California tomorrow for a first Friday that I'm sure when you do that West Coast trip, not only is the jet lag real, is the time difference real, but, I mean, it's nice weather out in California. You're going to come back to... I don't know if the fog's on Wednesday is going to be as dense. It was bad this morning, worse compared to what it was yesterday.
Yeah, way worse this morning. I'm guessing after traveling with 3 kids across country 2 times in, what, the last 5 days, I'm guessing Bo will be ready for that first Friday.
That officially endorsed is just going to, that officially endorsed drink recommendation is going to hit a little different. But I was stumbling through that Olympic update read there, and Team USA dominant in their semifinal win, putting him in the gold medal game against Canada Thursday at 1:10. Team Latvia is going to be putting Elvis Merzlikens in the pipes against Sweden today at 3:10. Winner there gets Team USA in Wednesday's quarterfinal. So Wednesday at 3:10 for the men, and the women play Thursday at 1:10. I guess all roads for men's hockey feel like a Saturday matchup with Team Canada, but the women have the Canadians on Thursday. That's I think for me, the best part of the Winter Olympics is the hockey tournament. And I was thrilled to see they allow NHLers back into the thing just after you saw the excitement with the four nations. I do think a Team USA, Team Canada matchup on Saturday in the gold medal game is going to have all the juice you need. And it's going to be one of those mid-afternoon things. So you maybe pop a couple at noon. Pace yourselves because it's a three-period hockey game. But the NHLers come back next Wednesday, so February 25th. The Jackets are at Boston, taking on the Bruins next Thursday. Then they return to Nationwide Arena Saturday, February 28th, against the New York Islanders.
I just saw our good friend Aaron Porchline with a tweet that Rick Bowness has flown back to Columbus from Florida. The Jackets that are still here start practice up again tomorrow. So they'll be getting ready while Elvis and Zach are still over there. It sure seems like in the men's side, you're going to get USA Canada in that gold medal game. However, there's still a lot of good teams in this. And with Slovakia winning their portion of their group in the preliminary rounds, that kind of sets up what possibly could be an interesting matchup for Team USA in the quarterfinals. It's Sweden and Latvia today, and we know Elvis is getting the start in that game for Latvia, but that Sweden team's pretty good as well. So that'll be an interesting matchup if Sweden wins today and Team USA has to take them on in the quarterfinals, I believe Thursday, that game would be played. So that just an interesting matchup for Team USA. That's, the Swedes are pretty good.
And so right now you're looking at medal counts. The United States is third in overall medal count with 19. Norway has the most with 29. Italy's got 23. The six gold medals are also third best. Norway 13, Italy 8. It is a Tuesday, and so at this time, we'll do Dom Tabari coming up at 10:30. He's preparing to prepare to board a boat for the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer. Dom, not famously a fan of the ocean, so we'll get his nautical nonsense again. That's coming up at 10:30.
Bishop and Friends present The Real Truth.
Sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years.
You're saying to yourself, Eric, you're stalling. Yeah, I was looking for the button. The NCAA tournament's going to expand to 76 teams in 2027. Is that the real truth?
I don't know if that's the real truth, but it is the real truth that the NCAA tournament is going to expand at some times, and that sucks to me. I don't understand, quite frankly, why we're at 68. I don't know why we moved on from 64. I don't know. Maybe it's just get off my lawn. I don't need to see more teams in this thing. Like last year, Ohio State was 19-14. I saw enough in the regular season to know they weren't winning a national title and they weren't going to win the NCAA tournament if they were in it. And Bo talks about this all the time, and he's right because the numbers are there. We love Cinderella in rounds 1 and 2. We don't like Cinderella the further this goes.
No.
You want the best teams. You want the blue bloods. You want the big guys. It's just like in the college football playoff. I don't think you want James Madison and Boise State at the end. You want the Ohio States, the Alabamas, the Georgias, the Miamis. You want those teams. So I don't know if this is the real truth for 2027, but there is the real truth that it's going to expand, and I dislike it a lot.
I'm on the same page as you. It's going to expand at some point. I don't know if it's going to be 2027. And it's the exact same thing. Like, when it went to 68, like, the play-in games, to me, that's not even the tournament. Like, if you... I'm not even tuning into those the night before the tournament starts. That's not happening for me.
You're not doing first four in Dayton?
I am not doing first four in Dayton. Unless if the Buckeyes get in the first four in Dayton, that'll be the first time that I watch the first four in Dayton because it doesn't feel like the real thing for me, so I don't even tune into those games. And the further we get out, and I understand, too, we want teams during the regular season to feel involved, to feel like they can make it to March Madness, but we're already at the point now where Ohio State is in, they're trying to get to March Madness, and they're probably going to finish the season, like Bake said, 19-14. So if you have the opportunity to get to 19-14, you can get in, then I think we've gotten far enough expansion-wise.
I will say this, Isaiah, and if you don't want to watch them on TV, I understand, but the first four is something that I have to go over and do at some point just because of that arena. University of Dayton Arena is an experience like I've never, like going and watching a UD game, that atmosphere is ridiculous. I love that arena. I get to work it every year for the state basketball tournaments, which is different than a college basketball game there. But those crowds at UD and that arena is awesome. So go watch it in person. If you don't watch it on TV, that's fine, but go over and see it in person.
Hey, the Buckeyes get in. Maybe we make a trip.
I love it.
This is an opportunity tonight for Ohio State. They've got number 24, Wisconsin, at the shot. Tip off there, 8:30. Brandon Beam will be in here at 7:30 to gently warm you up for that contest. And I say the NCAA tournament will expand to 76 in 2027. Charlie Baker, NCAA president, was asked about it last week. He says, quote, "We're certainly working to see if we can make it 72 or 76. Continuing with the expansion theme, there will be at least one more FCS school to make the jump to the FBS in 2026. Is that the real truth?
I don't think that is the real truth for this year. Now, moving forward, are you going to have more? Yes, probably. But I don't think, and I don't know who it would even be. You've got Sacramento State jumping to the MAC, and you've got North Dakota State jumping to the Mountain West on July 1st. So I don't know who that school would be the next one to say, yeah, we're ready for next year. Let's go. So is it going to happen more in the future? Yeah, sure, it is. And who knows what these conferences, especially in football, and that's what Sacramento State, I guess, is just a football school in the MAC. So who knows what these are going to look like moving forward and what kind of movement we'll have. But I don't think anybody else is jumping next year.
I think there will be talks of them jumping, and they're probably going to start those conversations. Some of the teams that I saw online, like UC Davis, Tarleton State, South Dakota State, like showing interest in it. I'm sure everyone has interest. They'd love to be in the FBS, but it's the monetary thing. Can you pay? Can you shell out the 10 mil? And can you get the invite from one of the conferences to actually allow you in? And I don't think that's happening this year. Maybe in the next couple.
Like Sac State's shelling out 18 million to do it. Like it felt like they were just trying to throw as much money at anybody who would accept them.
18 million, and they are paying for MAC teams to travel. Oh. They're paying their travel expenses.
As they probably should. This from North Dakota State's perspective, and again, I put this out there because I do think you have a couple of teams in the FCS, and Isaiah, you'd mentioned South Dakota State as one of several that are looking to see what happens with North Dakota State and their challenge that the NCAA requires a team to compete two transitional seasons at the FBS level before being eligible to play in a postseason. So if North Dakota State's able to get the NCAA to hold off on banning them 2 years from the postseason, then I think you might see a South Dakota State or a Montana or a Montana State jumping up, knowing that they don't have to sit out 2 years before they can compete in a conference championship game. The Columbus Blue Jackets will win the trade deadline on March 6th. Is that the real truth?
As much as I want this to be the real truth, I'm going to say it's not the real truth. And I've said on this show for a while, I get the feeling that Don Waddell is going to swing big at this trade deadline. And the Jackets definitely the cap space, and they have picks and prospects and all those things to do it. But I'm guessing there's just going to be somebody out there that is going to get a big fish that maybe doesn't want to come to Columbus, maybe has some control over where they're going to go, and maybe Columbus is in on it, but they're like, you know what, I'll choose Vegas, or I'll choose LA, or I'll choose Colorado over Columbus. So it may not be for a lack of trying, but I'm going to say they don't. Although I do think the Blue Jackets add something at the deadline.
I think they'll add something, but I don't think they're going to make big moves. I think the only way we see them making big moves is if this thing starts to roll off the rails here, which nobody wants to see. If they keep on trending upward like they did before the Olympic break here, I don't see them making moves. They've got some key extensions coming this summer, too, where they're going to be shelling out some more money. Boone Jenner, Charlie Coyle are all up for them. So I just don't see them making that move yet.
I say they're going to win it. That is the real truth. And they're going to look at those extensions and say, no, let's swing big now. We'll deal with the extensions in the offseason. Just real quick, because Bo's not here. The Reds and Guardians will both make Major League Baseball's postseason. Is that the real truth?
You know what? I actually think it is the real truth.
Yes.
because I think the Reds, they added the power bat that they needed in Eugenio Suarez. I think Matt McClain, who had a slow year last year coming back from shoulder surgery, and a lot of people will tell you that shoulder injuries are the worst to recover from. I think Matt McClain returns to form and has a big year for the Reds this year. And that Reds pitching staff, that starting pitching staff is deep. It's probably about eight deep this year. So they could even go through some injuries and still be okay on the starting staff. And I mean, I don't know how you can bet against the Guardians, quite frankly. They have been so good for so long. Somehow they just always do it. They've got an unquestioned leader and star in Jose Ramirez. They've got a couple young guys, Chase DeLauder, that might be in for a big year this year. So I'm going to say, yeah, I think they both get in.
I never bet against the Gardos. A couple of years ago, I was starting to sell their stock a little bit. I'm a Gardos fan, but they've proved me wrong time and time again. So they more than likely will somehow make it to the playoffs. And the Reds are trending upwards for me. It feels like they've been right there on the brink, and it's been tearing all my Reds friends' fandom heart out.
And Tito, we trust.
It feels like they got to get there, right? I mean, if it isn't this year, then when will it be? But we keep on saying that.
All right, don't nobody tell Bo we talk baseball. When he comes back tomorrow, I won't hear any of it. I'll know if you snitch. You snitch on us, I'll come find you. Where will the 11 Buckeyes find themselves in April's NFL draft? We'll discuss that next. Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
You mama say you ugly, hey!
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
My house has... Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Buckeyes are back at the shot for a Big Ten battle with Wisconsin.
Live and coverage starts Tuesday night at 7:30.
Every game, every season, proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan. Ohio sports destination.
Hello.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly cloudy skies for us today with temperatures getting in the mid to low 50s. And then for tonight, we'll have a slight chance of showers overnight. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with lows in the 40s and winds starting to pick up out of the south. We'll see gusty winds in the forecast for Wednesday with scattered showers. Otherwise, cloudy with gradual clearing and highs soaring into the mid 60s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Common Man, a radio veteran, has a large hemorrhoid. Timmy Hall, a good clean boy. Moonlight, says man's hemorrhoid. Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan. If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Yes, you are. Eric Reeser, Ryan Baker, Isaiah Jacob with you on this Tuesday edition of the show. Bo will be back from California on Wednesday. In about 10 minutes, we'll go out, we'll go down, I should say, to Florida and get Dom Tiberi on the horn as he prepares to board the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer. Not really a fan of the ocean or swimming in it, so I'm very interested to see what he actually does when he's out to sea. Because the thing with cruises, Baker, and I don't know if you're a big cruise guy, Isaiah, I don't know if you're as well. Like, the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer is a wonderful thing that they put on to raise money for cancer research. But stick me on a boat in the middle of the ocean is not something I'm interested in.
I've never been on a cruise, but I would be very interested in doing one. I actually really want to do an Alaskan cruise here at some point. I think that would be awesome. That boat is so big. I think I feel like I'm pretty safe on it. I know everything, right? But I feel like I'm pretty safe, so I'm all for the cruise. I'm not too scared of the ocean. I'll get in the ocean. I'll swim in the ocean. We go to Florida every summer.
Yeah.
I'm fine in there, and we've even had wildlife. Like, we've had manatees go by. We've seen dolphins and sharks and stuff in the ocean, too. Not while I was in the ocean have I seen a shark, but I know it's in there, so I'm not too scared of it. I would love to go on a cruise.
I'm not afraid of the ocean, but I am afraid of experiencing, because if I'm on a cruise, I'm going to be having some fun on the cruise. I'm afraid of a hangover on a cruise? Because I know seasickness is always, I've been on some boats where I haven't done so well. And so I know that if I go on a cruise and have some drinks and wake up the next day, that might be a bad day for me.
No. I was just say, I did see a video maybe yesterday or the day before of a woman who, as you had said, had been having fun on the cruise and drinking, and walking back to the room, the wind was awful and it was blowing her every which direction. No. Like that might be something that could be a problem.
Now, I know Dom's fearless, so I have no doubt that he'll handle himself accordingly as the Buckeye Cruise sets sail from South Florida. Dom spoke with Ohio State's president, Ted Carter, in an interview. You can see we've got it up at 10 TV Plus and on YouTube, which is where you can go if you've missed anything that we do here at The Fan. WBNS Radio is our handle on YouTube. Again, thanks to everybody for always chatting along with the program. Here's Dom talking with Teddy Carter. In the last segment, we had talked about conference expansion. You have two teams coming up from the FCS to join the FBS level starting in 2026. Well, there's been a lot of chatter with Ohio State, and would they join a super conference?
I'm always going to be protective of the Ohio State Buckeyes. And if we put ourselves into some sort of bigger league than what we are in already in the Big Ten, it has a chance of diluting our brand. So I'm not going to be the first one to sign up for that. You know, we're 18 teams now. Some people might argue that diluted us a little bit from what we were, but yet the Big Ten now is an even more powerful brand because of it. So I'm going to say in the experiment of that expansion, Ohio State is still at the top of that list, and our brand matters. Not only the most recognizable brand, but the most powerful athletic Division I sports program in the country. I mean, 36 Division I sports. Nobody else is doing that except for Navy and Stanford at 35. So I love our brand. I want to protect it.
I wish Ohio State would just realize what they are and be a little more bold and cocky with who they are. Ohio State's brand is not diminishing if you go to a super conference, especially as long as football is what's running everything. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. Like, Ohio State needs to wield its big stick and its power a little more. Your brand isn't going anywhere, Ted Carter. You're fine. Stop acting like it's not. And that's, I don't think that's cocky. I don't think that's conceited. I don't think that's short-sighted. I just think that's the truth.
Yeah. The brand of Ohio State, I don't think will ever be diluted either. Like, I wonder.
Yeah, I know.
You know, with the conferences, I don't necessarily think you need to be joining a super conference. I don't think that has to be the future of this. I mean, the Big Ten is too big. There's 18 teams, the Big Ten. It stretches from New Jersey all the way out to Hollywood, up to Eugene and Seattle. It's just, that's too big. And you have schools like the aforementioned New Jersey squad and Rutgers and Maryland that don't really have a place. Nebraska, like, those schools would be better off in other conferences. I still think there's better relocation of the West Coast schools. So I don't know about a super conference. I would just hope they go back to something more geographically sound, and you'll be able to do that, I think, even more so if you expand the damn thing. And it's not that I want it expanded, but I just think that's where we're going anyway. So, sure, I can get on board with 16. I can get on board, begrudgingly, with 24.
What if we, in college football, just went back to, we're going to have football. I don't know, how many teams do we want that can be considered for the college football playoff? Like, how many big brands are there? Is it 60? Is it 80? What do we think the number is? Whatever we think that is, like, let's just say 60, for example. Let's go to 6-10 pods, all regionally located, right? 10 teams, 6 pods.
Okay.
You play the 9 other teams in your pod, and what do we have, 12 games a year in college football? Then you play 2 teams that are in other pods, and then 1 team like a MAC school, like an Ohio or a Miami or a Kent State, something like that. What if we did something like that? Then nobody could complain. Everybody's basically playing the same kind of schedule. And then maybe we could decide, okay, these are the teams that need to be in here who a little better.
Yeah, I think that in the next couple of years, when this thing does expand, I think everybody's going to take another look at conferences and where things stand. Super conferences, I don't think are going to be the way of the future. but I would like to see some more regional sense made for what college football looks like. As again, they're going to continue to expand the thing, so your conference isn't going to have a championship game. Your conference isn't going to, I don't think it's going to need to exist in a true conference the way things do now, with the way with the Big Ten, with the ACC, with the SEC.
And we need to keep the conferences for the other sports, right, Reese?
I agree.
But football is a separate.
It's
own
the different
thing
conversation
now.
Should have been a different conversation 10 years ago. But since we want to keep talking about more and more and more, and if you heard in Top Gun Teddy wanting to brag about the 36 varsity sports, you've got to exclude Ohio State from how you treat the rest of them. You had put this to my attention from 11 Warriors, a mock draft kind of average of the 11 Ohio State players that are going to be going to Indianapolis for the scouting combine next week. And I see with Carnell Tate, who's anywhere from 3 to 16. And I think to myself, if you're a team in the top 10 and you pass on Carnell Tate, one, bad job out of you, unless you've found a need that you have to have. Like maybe, I'm trying to think, like the Cincinnati Bengals won't need a wide receiver. So other teams, though, you're going to pass on Carnell Tate? Wild to me.
Could you imagine Carnell Tate dropping to number 9 and the Kansas City Chiefs say no? Why would you do that?
Yeah. If you're going to, yeah, I look at, you know, the Saints, the Commanders, all, you know, the Kansas City. You imagine Carnell Tate goes to Kansas City.
Yeah.
And they get a healthy Patrick Mahomes back next October.
The possibilities are endless.
Makes my head hurt. But some of the other ones for Ohio State, Sonny Styles anywhere from 4 to 20, Caleb Downs anywhere from 2 to 16. I think the safety conversation has probably been the biggest thing for the range in where Downs could go, because that conversation, while I think is ridiculous, is something that NFL teams have. Is do we value the safety enough to make him a top 10 pick?
There were two things in this that were just shocking to me. One was Caleb Downs at 16, because I don't know how, and I get the positional value. I don't know how, if this is the true best player in the draft, he makes it to 16. And that's the outlier, right? There's only one of those that says 16. Sonny Styles at 4, though. I don't know. Sonny Styles was great this year, and I think he's going to be great in the pros. I did not see somebody taking him at number 4 in this draft, and who knows if that will be the case, but wow. That was eye-opening to me.
I wonder if for Sonny and for Arvell, it's going to be a very much a scheme fit, more so than can they just be plugged and played, like I do believe that, you know, Caleb Downs can. And for all of these guys, you know, for Caden McDonald as well, like, they've got the opportunity next week to show that they could just be those plug-and-play guys. It scheme be damned. We will go and check in with Dom Tiberi, who's about to prepare to board a boat in 2 minutes. It's Bishop and Friends on the...
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
About the fans contest, how to win, or what's up for grabs, check out 971thefan.com. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Bishop and Friends present Tuesdays with Tiberi.
Checking in with Uncle Dom on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Dom, where do we find you this morning?
I am poolside in Fort Lauderdale. We just got in. We are waiting to board the Silver Sea, Silver Ray for the 2026 Buckeye Cruise for Cancer. And I know it's warmer up there than it's been, but we're about 86 degrees here right now at this time of the morning.
All right, so we're going to live live vicariously through you over the next couple of days.
And I'm looking, and there's really no clouds in the sky. Beautiful blues. It's just absolutely gorgeous. We flew down on the plane. A bunch of the current Buckeyes are coming. They were there. Julian Sand and his offensive linemen are going on this year's cruise. Plus, all the regulars like Bobby Carpenter. I saw Bobby on the plane. And so, this is going to be neat. It's important to do because they raise so much money, and, you know, cancer has touched everyone's lives. And, you know, my wife, God bless her, she's been battling it. And you know, I do believe, I've said it and I'll say it again, they're going to find a cure for this damn disease and they're going to do it at the James.
And definitely saw your lovely bride on the flight down with you. Got to be just even more special for you guys being there together on this Buckeye Cruise for Cancer.
Oh, yeah. And she's really excited. You know, I'll tell you one thing, guys. Women are tougher than men. If it was up to us to have babies, the human race would go extinct. But I think about everything she's been through and what she's done, and she just keeps fighting, and she's about as tough a cookie as there is. And so I'm really proud of her, and I love her. And so this is neat. But, you know, I just see the empathy and what they do at the James. And just because, you know, all these poor women, you know, it's so hard that, you know, hey, you've been diagnosed with cancer. You got to have a mastectomy. You got to do chemo. You got to do radiation. And just the professionalism and just the empathy that these people have at the James. It's just I will never forget that and the way they are. And Terry's doing great. She's beating it right now. And that's all we want, you know.
Dom, you have been on a lot of these Buckeye Cruise for Cancer. Is there one moment that sticks out to you, or do you have a favorite moment from all of the cruises you've ever been on?
I think it's everything. I mean, Chris Quinn and Lisa Sisko, you know, Lisa did this initially thinking about Stephanie Spielman and what, you know, Chris and his family went through, and Lisa started this cruise because of that. And, you know, it's just amazing. I mean, if you've never done a Buckeye cruise, this needs to be on your bucket list, because it really is. It's just everything's perfect. It really, really is. This year we'll be going to four different islands, including St. Thomas, St. Martin's, St. Bart's, and Turks and Caicos, and we'll sail out of Fort Lauderdale this evening, and we'll hit those islands, and then we'll come back from Puerto Rico. That's where we'll finish. But you know, it's just neat to see the way all the players interact with the fans and everything. I mean, you know, we all know how much everybody loves Ohio State football, and you know, the fan, first of all, they've tried to do this, other schools have, nobody can do it. Ohio State's it's just because Ohio State's so special.
An awesome event for a terrific cause, the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer, that Dom is preparing to set sail on later today. Dom joins us on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. All right, so when you take those island excursions, are you scuba diving? Are you going fishing? What's your activity?
Now, Reeser, you know better than that. You have a 0% chance of getting bit by a shark if you don't get in the ocean. So I am not going to be shark bait. Now, I would go fishing, but I will not get in the ocean, and that doesn't happen. And I know that you the people out there are probably saying, "Oh, he's a chicken." Listen, what changed me is I went fishing one time in the ocean, and I caught a 12-foot, about a 900,000-pound tiger shark. And I said, "Oh my goodness, these things are in the ocean." And they said that one was not a big one. That was a pup. They get a lot bigger. Thank you. But I don't need to go to their house. They're not welcome in mine. I'm not going in theirs.
What would be worse, Dom, being in the ocean and encountering a shark or petting someone's pet snake?
I'm not doing that either. Listen. It's like these iguanas that are falling out of the trees down here.
Are they doing that? It's cold down there, right?
Well, not now. It's 80 whatever, but they were the other day. These things, and everyone's going, "Oh, look at the cute iguanas." First of all, they're invasive. They're not even from here. You know what I mean? And people get them as pets. It's like the piranha that's in the water down here, you know? I mean, and then it eats all the other. So, no snakes. You got those snakes running around all down here, too. They like, you know, Troy Landry's out there, the swamp people out there catching them. I watched that show. It's good television.
All right. Well, you recently spoke with Ohio State's president, Ted Carter. And in that conversation, again, you can see it on 10 TV Plus and on YouTube at WBNS Radio. What was the biggest takeaway for you when talking to old Slapshot?
Well, he had a couple things. First of all, and he said, I'm not out to make a headline, but what we're doing now is not sustainable. To me, that was the biggest thing. And, you know, he said, we've got to figure something out in the next 2 to 3 years. He said, because we could be in big trouble in 2 to 3 years. The biggest takeaways was that he gave a vote of confidence to Jake Diebler. And, you know, I'm on the record. I'm a big fan of Jake Diebler, and I was happy to hear that. He talked about the Michigan game. He likes rivalry games. He would like to see that game protected, but he's not really, you know, if they have to do it, if they have to play again the next week, he said he wishes something could be worked out about that. You got to remember, he's on the board of governors for the NCAA. And, you know, I asked him about, you know, paying the athletes, and he said, you know, we'll see where it goes, but you got to be careful what you wish for. And, you know, it's a whole different landscape. You know, as we talked about, the genie's out of the bottle, and, you know, it's not going to change. I thought it was very interesting that, you know, we have given our opinions about, you know, the model now for college football, where players are getting older and older teams. And he pretty much echoed that and said that he believes that where we're heading now, you're still going to recruit, you know, the top players, but those are going to be limited classes, and you're going to try to get older. You're going to try to get players that are developed, and they feel like that's where, you know, that he said he felt that's where that this is heading. And he's an amazing guy. I don't know if you guys know the Slapshot, you call him. He's also, I told him, I said, you're the inspiration for Top Gun. You know, he was involved with all that. He landed on, had more landings on an aircraft carrier than any other pilot ever. Over nearly 2,100 times he landed on an aircraft carrier. Isn't that amazing? But I enjoyed my conversation. And if you want to see the whole thing, folks, if we get into everything, and he answered anything and everything I asked him about athletics. And it's about a 20-some minute interview, and I really thank him for doing that, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, definitely some good stuff in there, so check it out on 10TV+. Dom, one thing you asked him about was super conferences. And President Carter's answer, he talked about not wanting to diminish the brand of Ohio State. I personally don't think that's possible. Do you, I wish this, do you wish sometimes that Ohio State would maybe yield their power a little more and just realize how big and powerful the Ohio State brand is?
I think that's what he was saying, to be honest with you, and I applaud him for that. I mean, this Ohio State has carried the Big Ten Conference for the last several years. And, you know, they have always been a good teammate, let's put it that way. But, I mean, at the end of the day, they're carrying the load of this conference. You know, now Indiana's coming. They're going to feel what it's like. But, I mean, you think about the Big Noon kickoffs they've done and some of the other stuff. And I think about, you know, how you want to protect your number one team that's in the Big Ten. And then I see some of the stuff that, you know, the conference is allowing Fox to do with that gentleman that I won't even say his name. That's nothing but a Michigan fan, and his whole persona every week. I don't care where he is, what he's doing. All he's doing is knocking Ohio State, making fun of Ohio State. And, you know, is that the way you treat the number one team in your conference? I don't know where all this is heading. I heard what he said, but I do believe we are heading to a super conference. I do believe that it is not sustainable. He said it's not sustainable. They need to get football out of the mix. They need to go back to, for the other sports, they need to go back to what intercollegiate athletics was. But this is the professionalism of college football, and that's where we're at. The players are getting paid. Hopefully they can get some rules here in the next 2 to 3 years where they can solidify the way we're doing business, because they got to figure some things out. This every year of unrestricted free agency, because, you know, short of the guys signing contracts, how do you enforce it? And they got to figure out a way to do it. I know people have talked about, hey, let's get the federal government to come up with a law. Well, I'm all for that, if they can figure something out that makes sense. But I don't know that I personally don't know that I want the federal government involved with college football. I mean, I don't know. I don't like a lot of the things that are happening, but it doesn't matter what I think. It's what it is. And, I think President Carter was right. It's not sustainable. And hopefully in the next 2 to 3 years, they can get some rules. He's got another year and whatever on this thing. And I think that's important that he's out there representing Ohio State and the Big Ten for that matter.
All right, Dom, relax, enjoy the cruise, get some sun. We look forward to hearing all the tales from the high seas next Tuesday, bud. Have fun.
We will, and I'll be sending back some videos and with the players and everybody here. We'll be sending stuff back. So keep it on 10TV, 10TV Plus, and 97.1 The Fan. No one covers the Buckeyes like we do.
It's the consummate professional Dom Tiberi joining us on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll do Thing or Not a Thing next. It's Bishop and Friends on the...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is the Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Incova Insurance. With how we've seen Amari Bynum play as of late, Jake, how would you just go about talking about how his skill has continued to develop during the season?
Well, you know, it's developing because he works hard at it every day. And he's shown a great deal of consistency preparing to play well. And we're starting to see his game, you know, really on game day be more consistent. So he can score at multiple levels. His activity when he's really rebounding at a high level is great for everybody. And just been really impressed with his approach.
Does it speak also to the talent that he brought in the door when he first got here?
Yeah, I mean, make no mistake, he certainly got some talent and he's got some great physical tools. But, you know, how I think the biggest difference for him versus a lot of talented freshmen is the way he approaches every single day. His maturity and work ethic have been really impressive for a young player.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, 2-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer both on and off the court. That's why Incova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Incova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Incova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Incova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Incova on your team. Visit Incova.com today to find an agent near you. Incova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Now, the officials have been talking for quite some time.
All righty, let's see what they have to say.
Upon further review, there is no penalty on the play. However, we have conferred and discovered that Bob, the line judge, has saved a boatload for his kids' college using Ohio's 529 plan. It is tax-free, accepted nationwide. Bob recommends we all go to collegeadvantage.com. First down!
Well, that's not entirely unexpected.
Classic Bob.
Jake, if you would, just talk about the keys in facing Wisconsin as you get ready to see them for the second time tonight.
Well, it starts with their guard play. You know, they got two really dynamic guards who are either of them can get 25 on any given night. So our defensive game plan and execution of that game plan is going to be really important, not just for stretches, but really the entirety of the 40 minutes, because they're capable of scoring a lot in short bursts. So that's where it starts, and they're really good in transition. Then in the half court, we got to finish plays. We got to rebound. We got to do those things at the end of the possession to make sure we can then in turn get out and run on the other side.
Okay, this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Around here, it's all-wheel drive all year round, and Toyota has more all-wheel drive choices than anyone, like the best-selling Camry. Now through March 2nd, get 4.99 APR financing on a new 26 Camry, or lease a new Camry LE for just $279 a month for 39 months with $3699 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS. Tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
The best hair on the air.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Unquestionably, the best coiffed show on this station. Eric Reeser, Ryan Baker, Isaiah Jacob on this Tuesday edition. We'll be back tomorrow for a first Friday. Get your hey guys in. You can get them in now. We'll get them to you tomorrow. We'll get them on the air tomorrow if we can read them on the air. And then Thursday, we do the emails. I can't tell you where to send the email. The link might work on the website.
I think it does now.
So if you click on that link, get us your emails Thursday, 10 o'clock. We do that. I should know our features by now.
10 o'clock.
You'd think it's been enough time, but, you know, some days.
We're talking about, hey, guys, and we do that at 11, then emails at 10. It can be confusing.
I appreciate the defense there.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
You remembered we do hey thing or not a thing right now. So you hit the button. You hit the button.
Everybody gets a raise today. Over the weekend at Padres camp, baseball, Manny Machado told reporters he's got no problem with the Dodgers spending. Quote, I effing love it. Every team should be doing it. That ish is effing great for the game. Adding, I think every team has the ability to do it. I hope all 30 teams learn from that. The Dodgers continued their spending spree this winter, pushing their payroll to approximately $400 million. Kyle Tucker signed a four-year, $240 million contract, while the Padres just brought in a couple of low-cost pitchers, and then Nick Castellanos, whose $20 million salary is mostly being paid by the Philadelphia Phillies. Thing or not a thing?
So I'm going to say this is not a thing because, of course, he loves it, because at one time he was paid by the Los Angeles Dodgers, and more guys getting more money is better for all of baseball. I will also push back on one thing he said. I don't think every team can do that. I think there's some teams who have ownerships that are just limited. They don't have unlimited pockets like the group that owns the Los Angeles Dodgers. So I think Manny Machado is a little wrong in that. Now, there are some teams who could spend a little more than they do, sure. But I don't think every team out there can do what the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Mets, and teams like that are doing. I do think some of these teams have some limitations.
I do think this is a thing because I'm a Gardos fan and I see it hand. I see it firsthand every single season. And I do agree with Bake. I don't think that all teams can do it, but I think there are some teams that sometimes choose not to do it.
Correct.
I think that's the problem, is when there was a long portion of time when the Tigers were not spending, were not trying, and then they finally started trying, and look, they're competing. And that's the hard thing about baseball right now. Why I think this is a thing is because some teams have to pay to compete. There's teams that are choosing not to pay so they don't compete, and there's teams like the Guardians that don't pay, and somehow they still compete.
Yeah, Bob Nutting can't afford a $400 million roster. The Castellinis can't afford a $400 million roster. The Dolans can't afford a $400 million roster. Now, maybe in 2028, when David Blitzer gets majority ownership of the team, that group could afford a $400 million roster for Cleveland, but it is not the case right now.
As they push Jose Ramirez's money closer to that.
Well, that's the thing. You know, he agrees to that extension, and it's largely in part, I think, because the Blitzer said, no, we're fine picking up the tab. Back on Sunday, UConn beat Georgetown 79-75 at home. After the game, Huskies head coach Dan Hurley and Hoyas head coach Ed Cooley talked about the lack of UConn fans in attendance for that game in Storrs, Connecticut. Speaking with reporters after that, Hurley had some words for UConn fans.
We're the basketball capital of the world. There shouldn't be criticisms of our crowds at games. Ed, when I saw Ed during the handshake line, Ed asked me what was up with the crowd. And there was just a lot of empty seats. I think the section behind our basket was empty. It should be a madhouse when we play here at the basketball capital of the world for our games. Like, we need our fans in the games on, like, from the tip when we're playing defense to get loud. And obviously when we score or hit a three or dunk the ball, it's pretty easy. I try to get the crowd. Fans could criticize me all you want. I got some equity. You know, I've got two national championships here, in the last 3 years. And we've given you the season that there's a lot of programs across the country that fans wish they had going. So, I'm not doing that anymore though. You know, I asked the players to try to do it. You don't come to watch a game. It's not a social event, right? Like, this is the basketball capital world. We need our fans to come to the game and be loud as from the start. It needs to be a madhouse.
Thing or not a thing.
I do think it is a thing, and I think it's a thing on multiple levels where it's so hard to get people to come out and do stuff. And you think of the Ohio State basketball program and all the things that we've talked about with them here recently, and you're like, man, we would kill to have a program that UConn has right now. And it's crazy to think that a Georgetown-UConn game wouldn't be a draw anymore, but sometimes as fans, you get complacent and you just expect wins and you're like, you're going to be Georgetown. That's not going to be a fun game. No problem. Yada, yada. And there's 7 or 8 home games every year at the Shoe. And we've seen it where the Shoe, as good as Ohio State's product is all the time, if they play somebody who it's going to be a blowout, you're not going to get a full Shoe. You're not going to get the atmosphere. Well, how much have we talked about trying to improve the atmosphere at the Shoe and make it more enjoyable for people to be there when you've had one of the best college football programs of the past 30 years playing in that stadium? But it's just a different time now. We have such short attention spans, and it is a thing. And you would think that UConn wouldn't have a problem with this at their basketball games, but unless it's a massive game coming in there, people are just like, we've seen this before.
And I cannot stand Dan Hurley, but I do think that he has a point here. And the reason, too, is similar to what you said, Bake, is if you're going to the game, you're not going to the game as a social event. Like, if you buy tickets to go to an Ohio State game, why are you going there instead of watching it at home? Because of the atmosphere. And so when you get there, it also is a part of the fans', I guess, duty to create the atmosphere. You could have 100,000 people in the stadium, but if you're all just kind of hanging out, chatting, not really getting into the game, especially when you have a great product, UConn's a great product. Same thing with Ohio State football, a great product. When you go to the games, you got to be ready to cheer on the team. But I will say, it's something that Dan can say one time, but you can't keep on harping on it. If you're the head coach of the basketball team, stop worrying so much about the fans. Say it once and let it go and keep on moving.
A top 5 coach in men's basketball is crying poor. You'll hear from him coming up next. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. We're 26 days out from Selection Sunday. The latest bracket projection from CBS has 10 teams from the Big Ten in the Big Dance. Ohio State's one of the first 4 out. Buckeyes will be bubblicious for their last 6 games. Ohio State will host number 24 Wisconsin tonight at 8:30. We'll have coverage on The Fan at 7:30. Junie Mobley likely out tonight, but Jake Diebler says they expect him to return before the Big Ten tournament. The 10th-ranked Ohio State women's squad plays at number 23 Minnesota tomorrow night at 8. You can hear that one on The Fan with coverage Wednesday at 7:45. In NFL news, the Browns have named Mike Rutenberg their new defensive coordinator. The 41-year-old Rutenberg last served as defensive line coach for the Atlanta Falcons. The scouting combine starts Monday in Indianapolis. 11 Buckeyes are headed to Indianapolis in advance of the NFL draft. This update is sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling. Together to serve you better. Schedule today at thewaterworks.com.
After putting up with
Tom Tabari for a decade. The broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
Eric Reeser, Ryan Baker, Isaiah Jacob with you on a Tuesday edition of the program. In about half an hour, we'll get two-time first-team All-Big Ten, Scooney Penn, on the program, 11:30. We'll talk about Ohio State and basketball expectations relative to talent, relative to talent in the Buckeye State, and relative to money spent on the program. And I think what's been one thing from the program is the money relative to what the football team's been given makes it tougher to compete. And I'd say, well, yes. Yes, it does. But allocation on the money that you are given is the most important thing, in my opinion. In the last two seasons, the allocation's not been there. And it feels like the results show that. This is a results-based business. So your feelings on everybody, your feelings on the program, your feelings on the coach, the feelings on the players, only matter if the results are there. If the results aren't there, then your feelings are obviously going to skew negative. My biggest fear, my biggest concern, and I'm interested to see if Scooney shares this, is you have to defend from apathy. And what I saw was be a week ago Sunday, or what I heard at the Schottenstein Center was, let's go blue, reverberate around the arena that Ohio State plays in. And that kind of realized my fear of, in an NIL era, you are dead if your program has apathy.
Yes and no.
You'll never have apathy with Ohio State football.
I don't think Michigan's going to die because of apathy, because we've talked about
this. They don't have apathy. They haven't.
But they also have the big donors we've talked about. You know, it's just a fact. There's people that are donating to the Michigan program that have more money than the people that are donating to the Ohio State program. There are more people that have more money donating to the Texas Tech program.
Sure.
Right now than there are to the Ohio State. Okay. So apathy could be a killer if you're relying on fans to try to fund your NIL, which I've already said is ridiculous. You ask enough from the fans already. You shouldn't be asking the fans to give and donate more and more and more. And hopefully, and I know Ohio State is using those avenues to the best of their ability. Hopefully they're using more corporate avenues in these endeavors to gain more money for the Ohio State basketball program. It's tough because we've seen this in football, right? A lot of times where Ohio State goes somewhere and you hear the OHIO chants throughout the stadium. One of those used to be Indiana. I think Indiana's okay right now
sure. In
football. I don't know if you're going to get OHIO chants in Bloomington at the
not
football stadium for a long
there.
Time. Yeah, so I get what you're saying, and I think you're right to some extent there, but I don't think it's the end-all be-all.
We'll get Scooney's thoughts at 11:30. We had this scheduled for thing or not a thing, but I think it does relate to our conversation. So this was early February after Houston beat UCF. To Big 12 power schools, right? When we think of the Big 12, you certainly think of Central Florida and Orlando. This was Kelvin Sampson, their head coach of the Cougars, talking about the athletic department.
Quote, Mick Cronin had the best line. So he Venmos me a dollar. He Venmos me a dollar. He actually sent it to Kellen, a gift to me. Yeah. He said, yo, man, I heard your shtick. I said, post-game press conferences. He said, you got to learn not to say certain things.
Oh, Mick, of all people.
Yeah, so, but I did get that you don't have very much, so here's a dollar.
And that was to Sampson on the Field of 68 podcast. This was after Kelvin Sampson had said after that UCF game, quote, we have a very poor athletic department. We're poor. We were poor when I got here, and we're still poor, end quote. And if that's the case, okay, they've been able to allocate reasonably well to be number two in the country, 11-2 overall, 23-3.
Yeah, and unfortunately for Houston, they lost last night to number six Iowa State, 70-67. I think this is funny, and you heard Jeff Goodman say it, who was the host of the Field of 68 podcast. Mick Cronin, I'm hoping that was in jest, Mick Cronin saying that, like you got to learn to just not say some things. In your post-game press conference, I'm hoping that was a joke, an attempted joke by Mick Cronin in there and him sending a dollar. That's pretty funny. It is interesting, though, and we talked about this earlier. Houston's doing really good in basketball. Not doing so well in football, though. So Houston has decided to, maybe they don't have as much money as some other schools, but they have decided we're putting our money into basketball, into men's basketball. And that's how you can have a team that's number two in the country, I believe. I'd love to know, as he cries poor, how much of the, what's the percentage of the Houston money going to the basketball program? And I'd also like to compare it to Ohio State. What is Houston spending in their NIL money on their basketball program, and compare that to what Ohio State's money is? And it's kind of crazy that that's not out there, because Ohio State is a state university. So you would think that some of those numbers would have to be out there. And we know the 20.5.
We know the allocation of that.
And it's getting allocated to football, basketball, both basketball programs, and women's volleyball. Those are the four schools that that 20.5 is split up over. So the outside deals, maybe not, but I know they can be found, because supposedly they're all going through the College Sports Commission. So, you know, whenever you have figures and numbers bouncing between multiple different areas, they're going to get out there. Somebody's going to leak them. So I'm sure they can be found.
I just think for Jake Diebler, for Kelvin Sampson, if the arguments are going to be made about money and about money available to you, you're probably going to have some semblance of transparency, right? What have you been given? What's the money that you guys have? What's the total amount of money? Not just the money from the rev share agreement per the CSC, but money from boosters, money from collectives that you maybe wouldn't like to have out there. But if that's the defense you're going to, then you probably should show your work, I would think. And it's a thing that's dominating the college discussion, right? Is the allocation of your resources. When we had talked yesterday, the Mid-American Conference getting Sacramento State as a football-only school, a money grab by MAC schools, a play by Sacramento State for hopefully future revenue generation at a higher level of college football. Baker, you had brought it to my attention that their deal is a five-year agreement in which the school will take no conference distribution, cover the air travel of cost of visiting MAC schools, and pay $6 million of the $18 million entry fee in year one. So the $18 million they'd be spreading out against across the Mid-American Conference, and it's 12 member schools. They're paying six of it up front, and then they're going to cover the transportation costs. That seems to me why MAC presidents are like, yep, we're doing it.
It also seems to me, couldn't Sacramento State have used that money in better ways? Like, I understand they want to move up. They want to get in. I don't know if the MAC conference is going to give you what you want. Are they going to give you the TV revenue and money? Are they going to give you the exposure? I don't know. Like, if I'm Sacramento State, I would think I could find a better way to use my $18 million.
They obviously feel that the path to the FBS with the investments that Sacramento State has made in a new football facility, and even on the basketball side of things. Yeah. I mean, the allocation is the word that I keep going back to with that. Similarly for the NFL, you know, we joke all of the time on this program about the pie for the Cincinnati Bengals. And it's a real thing. I just sometimes feel it patronizing that Mike Brown, of all people, is using that, the pie analogy, when it comes to players and signing them in free agency. And for everything said about the Cincinnati Bengals, they did pay for Ja'Marr Chase, for T. Higgins. They gave Trey Hendrickson a raise at the request of Joe Burrow. Today is the first day NFL teams can work on that franchise tag. The window's open through Tuesday, March 3rd. Baker, you were telling me it was two teams last season of all 32 that actually used the franchise tag. T. Higgins and Cincinnati, that was one area that it was allocated. ESPN had the best team fits for the top 50 players of free agency. So that opens at 4 o'clock on March 11th, officially, if you have legal tampering nonsense on March 9th. ESPN's number one player in free agency, they're projecting to be Bengals defensive end Trey Hendrickson. They don't think that anything's going, and we all think that Trey's gone. And they're linking him to the Indianapolis Colts, which would be, I think, a great move for both teams.
It's interesting that Trey Hendrickson is the number one player on this list, when all we've heard about is how old he is the past couple of years. And I'm sure any deal with the Colts is not going to be a long-term deal, 1, 2, maybe 3 years, if he would end up with the Colts, wherever he ends up. I believe the Bengals could franchise tag him. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that ship has sailed with Trey Hendrickson. Although you never know with the Cincinnati Bengals. They do crazy things sometimes.
A defensive end to franchise tag would be $26 million.
And if Trey Hendrickson gives you the production that he has the past handful of years when he's been healthy and on the field, I would say that's worth it for the Bengals or any other team.
Yeah, that's one of several positions, right? Where you're like, some might think it's an overspend, but that's a position of that position dominates in terms of the difference that can be made on a football field. I also saw that ESPN had said Malik Willis, Packers quarterback, we headed to the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins cleared a ton of cap space yesterday in moves to cut Tyreek Hill, Bradley Chubb, among others. So John Eric Sullivan, in his first year as general manager, now has put the team $13 million under the salary cap. That's according to the Miami Herald. And so if they're able to now clear all of that, they got to figure out what they want to do with Tua Tagovailoa. They could probably make a big swing at Malik Willis, a swing that the Browns simply cannot, because they're not able to do that kind of cap gymnastics with the Deshaun Watson deal. They'll cut Watson next year. It'll cost him $86 million. And they'll have to deal with that for a couple of more years because they were kicking the can down the road. And I hate that.
You think they'll cut them, but what if he comes in and plays well this year?
Nope.
I mean, hear that. What do they need a veteran in the room for when they've already got one?
He's played football games.
He's ready. I've seen the videos. He is ready. He puts one every
online.
Day.
His Achilles are strong now. They're brand new.
I'll explain. Look. I was going
Grace
to
is so disgusting.
I was
right
going.
Now.
I am so angry at this whole thing. I'm so angry that they made the move in the first place when they did, because they were able to turn around the Houston Texans and they were able to send Cleveland deeper into the abyss that you didn't think it could get any worse than 0-16 and 1-15, and somehow Cleveland figured it out. Ohio State's got to figure it out with the men's basketball team if they want to compete in meaningful games this March. You'll hear from their head coach Jake Diebler coming up next. It's Bishop and Friends on the Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Hey, what's up? It's Tebow.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Rothman and Ice every Thursday at 2:30 for Gold Jacket Thursday.
Presented by the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
A new Hall of Famer joins the show every week.
But not OJ, because he's dead and probably a murderer.
The Fan.
Hey, it's T-Bone.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly cloudy skies for us today with temperatures getting in the mid to low 50s. And then for tonight, we'll have a slight chance of showers overnight. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with lows in the 40s and winds starting to pick up out of the south. We'll see gusty winds in the forecast for Wednesday with scattered showers. Otherwise, cloudy with gradual clearing and highs soaring into the mid 60s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan.
If you love a good pie analogy,
think of the cap as a pie. And once you take out one piece, there's less left for the next guy.
Then this is the radio show for you. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Just real quick from the Department of Corrections, since this will likely be if Cincinnati put the tag on Trey Hendrickson, it would be almost 30. It would be more than $30 million. Using 100, this from Paul Daner Jr. of The Athletic. Using 120% of his salary from last year, his franchise tag amount would be 1 year, $30.2 million. The Bengals can place the tag on him starting February 17th. Decision must be made by March 4th. The first time tag for defensive ends is $26 million. $27 million for defensive tackles. Again, the first time franchise tag. So the asking price for Trey Hendrickson would go up for Cincinnati if in fact they were to use it, but ESPN labeling him the number one free agent in this upcoming cycle, have him going to the Indianapolis Colts. So for Cincinnati, it Do they take another swing for a defensive player in the upcoming NFL draft? Bengals pick at 10. I'm seeing defenders in every mock I use.
I just saw, this will make Bengals fans happy, I believe. I just saw Daniel Jeremiah's 2.0 mock over at NFL.com, mm-hmm. and he has the Cincinnati Bengals taking one Caleb Downs with the 10th pick in the draft.
I don't know if that'd be a good fit for him, but they would certainly benefit from having a player that's ready to go in the NFL from day one.
I think every fit is a good fit for Caleb Downs, right? He's one of those guys that he's fine where every fit works for him.
One of the, if not the exception to kind of every safety drafting rule that the NFL and its group think has had over the past, 10, 15 years. For the Ohio State men's basketball team, and we'll have Ohio State great Scooney Penn on with us here in about 10 minutes to talk what are his expectations year in and year out for the program that he loves so dearly. They've got Wisconsin, the 24th ranked Badgers, at home tonight at the Schottenstein Center, 8:30 for that tip. Fan pregame starts at 7:30. It's trading card night. Looks like Evan Turner's going to be in the house for that. So a cool opportunity for Ohio State fans to show up, show out, and support a team that is on the wrong side of the bubble right now. And for the last six games, including tonight's contest, it feels like the Buckeyes will just be bubblicious up until that March 15th selection Sunday. A win tonight would erase an 0-for Ohio State this season against teams in the top 25. They're 0-for-6. They want to go 1-6. What would that have to require? Here's Jake Diebler talking about beating the Badgers tonight.
This is kind of life in the Big Ten and playing a really hard schedule. You're going to find yourself in these situations over and over and over again. What you can control is how you execute. And what you can control is, are we putting our guys, are we creating an advantage for them with that execution, right? And it's both sides. Like there's obviously the execution offensively, and then there's the execution defensively. I think we've shown great improvement. We didn't show that improvement last game, which is disappointing. But we got some guys who are getting more confident at end of game. Guys who are, who are, I think, raising their level for the moment, because ultimately it's these games oftentimes come down to one team making and one team missing. And, you want to make the other team's, job offensively extremely difficult with being connected and tough defensively. You don't want to give up extra possessions off rebounds or silly fouls, right? That stuff you can control. And then on the other side, your connection's so important because of the timing of actions. Like we're not built, I think, to just be a straight ISO ball team where guys can like go get their own and teams run guys at them. They're playing in crowds. Like we gotta execute with some screenings and screening actions and get some movement to create some advantage. When we do that, it's been really good for us.
Yeah, this team has ebbed and flowed similarly to how they have in the last couple of seasons at this time of the year.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about that. So the Buckeyes started off the year 6-0, and then it's pretty much been lost 1-1-1, lost 1-1-1. They had back-to-back wins against Grambling and Rutgers. Then they lost to Nebraska, lost back-to-back UCLA, Minnesota wins. They haven't had back-to-back losses all year, so that's one good thing you have going for you tonight as you take on Wisconsin. He talks about the schedule, and I don't know. Obviously, the Big Ten has a really good team in Michigan. And then Illinois is pretty good, I believe. Nebraska's pretty good. Michigan State's pretty good. But I don't know if they have any like really great teams behind Michigan. But one of the good things about this schedule in the Big Ten is, yeah, it sucks. You're playing good teams a lot. But Wisconsin, Michigan State, Iowa, Purdue, your next four, mm-hmm. all of those games, if you could win one, maybe two, those are huge wins to get on your resume as you try to get into this tournament.
There's no bigger key for me tonight than Devin Royal. He's got to be as good as he's been on the glass. He's got to be better in terms of his shot selection and creating shots.
You're correct in that, but you're going to need, and he talked a little bit about defense in that clip that we just played. You're going to need a guard on the defensive end to step up tonight because Boyd and Blackwell have been dominant for Wisconsin at that guard spot. Wisconsin scored 92 on you. At their place at the end of January. But I think those guards scored 22 and 21. You're going to need to control them a little bit tonight. So somebody defensively is going to have to step up on the outside to try to contain that duo for Wisconsin.
And for the Buckeyes, it's going to be, I think, more 20-plus point games for Bruce. Like, this is going to have to be after that Herculean performance against Virginia. You're going to have he's going to be the hand you ride without. I mean, Junie Mobley, 15 points a game, you just don't have anymore. And if you look at the latest bracket projections, Ohio State is one of the first four out. This would change a lot of fortunes for that. And in a sense, you're in six games left, four must wins. Here's Jake Diebler talking about if they have NCAA tournament discussions.
We talk about what our goals are. And for me, it, you know, goes back to what we're fighting to get this program back to. You know, but I want our guys, the best way to do it is to focus on playing as well as we possibly can against Wisconsin. And so that's the focus of our team. But, you know, part of this is playing in big time meaningful games this time of year. And we've positioned ourselves to do that. We've taken steps forward. We've been dealt some adversity here at not the ideal time, but that doesn't change the mission. It doesn't change the focus. Our focus is making sure we are ready. We have a great plan to play as well as we can against Wisconsin.
It was a good job out of him getting it out just as the music hits. That Buckeye battle cry you heard was the hard out for the network programming. Telling Jake, all right, you got to wrap it up, bud. I can't even imagine, like, with a broken pinky finger for Mobley and then no real information on Brandon Knoll other than we expect to have both of them back at the end of the season. Then it comes to, are you equipped enough? I mean, you talked about you're going to have better guard play. Is that going to have to come from Tayson Chapman? You're not getting anything off the bench. Again, cannot be the case.
It sucks right now. You weren't a deep team anyway, and you've got a couple guys out. Tayson Chapman, he had been playing pretty well. The minutes seemed like he got a little tired in the last game from playing that many minutes. Probably the first time he's played over 30 minutes in a game, maybe ever.
That was his first collegiate start, if I'm not.
It was. So it's probably ever, because I'm guessing he never played 30 minutes in high school. So probably the first time he's ever done that. Hopefully Amari Bynum can have a game again like he had.
You'll need that.
In the last one against Virginia. You mentioned Devin Royal. Hopefully he has a bounce back. It's a point and a half game right now. So the odds makers are telling you this is a close game tonight. Hopefully Ohio State can get enough. And hopefully... Gosh, I hate that this is an 8:30 home game. Hopefully you get a good crowd at the shot tonight.
And you got to hope, too, that someone can help Bruce out along the way. Because against Virginia, he carried so much of that game to where the final 5 minutes, we went scoreless until 33 seconds left when we finally got a basket. But at that point, it was already too far gone. Somebody along the way is going to have to get hot enough to where Bruce isn't carrying the offensive load. So when it comes down to the final 4 or 5 minutes, he still has enough gas to close out the game. Because I'll tell you this right now, if Bruce is dead the last 5 minutes of the game, we're not closing it out. And we saw it against Virginia. No one else is hitting that big bucket. Maybe Devin Royal can step up and get one, but they have to give him some help along the way so that Bruce can just punch it through and finally get us a win that's going to boost our resume to be able to push it into the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, you said 30 minutes of really good basketball against Virginia. Well, if you go 17, if you get outscored 17-7 in the final 9:44 against the Cavaliers, and if that something similar to that happens tonight against Wisconsin, it's out of the bubble and forgotten. The college basketball crown could be the destination of the postseason for the basketball Buckeyes. But what should the expectations be from a former Ohio State great? We'll get Scoonie Penn's take on this coming up in 2 minutes. It's Bishop and Friends on the...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Thing about the fans contest,
how to win,
or what's up for grabs,
check out 971thefan.com.
The Fan,
Ohio's sports destination.
They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Yes, you are. Eric Reeser, Ryan Baker, rolling with you on a Tuesday edition of the program. Life on the bubble isn't the most fun place to be, but for Ohio State and their men's basketball team, that's going to be the case for the next six games. 26 days out from Selection Sunday. We go out now to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Bring on former Big Ten Player of the Year, Scooney Penn. Scooney, thanks so much for the time this morning. As someone who played in the program and worked in the program, this is probably the easiest question we might have. What are the expectations for the basketball Buckeyes year in and year out for you?
First off, thanks for having me on. Expectations to be in the Big Dance, but first, like, competing for a Big Ten championship. You know, it's step by step, especially a university like Ohio State. It's got to be competing every year for a championship, then competing to win the Big Ten tournament championship, and then to be in a dance to make a run to try to get a Final Four and win a national championship. Like, there shouldn't be any other expectations except for those things I just mentioned in that order.
When you're dealing with an NIL transfer portal era that we are in right now, and you hear whether it be coaches or commentators talk about money and talking about not, you know, monetary allocation, do you see that as people making an excuse for things, or how do you view all of this from a former player's perspective, just seeing all the money that's being thrown around and wondering, does my school offer enough to a program?
I'm kind of split down the middle. I do think that that does make a difference. You know, schools are throwing their dollars around, you're getting the players. But at the same token, you know, we have spent a little bit of money, but we do have some players that are really good. How many schools can say that they were able to retain their best player every single year, which we have in Bruce Thornton? He's been here 4 years. For us to keep the three guys that we kept from last season to this season, you know, between him, Mobley, and Devin, I mean, that's tough to do in this day and age. So we had a core there. You know, we thought we bought in some pretty good pieces, but, you know, I guess it's the way it is now. College is becoming pros, and you have to spend the money to compete, to get the right players into your program, to get into the dance and to make deep runs into the NCAA tournament.
Scooney, you mentioned the competing for the Big Ten championship and making the NCAA tournament. Right now, when you look at the way the Ohio State roster is constructed, what do you think is the biggest thing keeping them from doing that?
I think defensively we have struggled. I think the roster, you know, it was built pretty good. Obviously, with some transfers coming in, some bigs, but I think we lack defensively. Through the whole course of the game, you know, I don't think we stay at a certain level that we need to be at. But also, I think one that thing hurts is bench production. I watch a lot of college basketball as well as the NBA, and you have to have guys that can come off the bench in any given night can kind of, they can be the guy and take over. And I think we lack that a little bit. So obviously the roster being a little bit strong as far as bench play, but also having the type of individuals that allow you to play a style that gets you, that keeps you into games every night, but also helps you make a deep run. And I think, you know, Bruce Thornton, the way he's played this season is unbelievable. Mobley shot the lights out. We've seen Tilly and Devin have good nights offensively. But I'm so impressed with the young fella Bynum, how he's come along. He's such a bright spot in the basketball team. But we have to have consistent defense. And I don't think there's the unit that's been out there that defensively has held us down this season. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because you got to hang your hat on that. When you go on the road, you play tough games, you know, you got to hang your hat on some defense, the toughness. Those are the things that win you games, especially when you get into the month of February, getting down to the end, getting to March. Like, you have to have guys that bring a certain level of tenacity to the game night in and night out. And I think we lack that at times.
Scooney Penn, our guest, the Basketball Buckeyes host number 24, Wisconsin, tonight at 8:30. You can watch it on FS1, but you, of course, hear it right here on The Fan with coverage at 7:30, I should say. Scooney, it's one of those things, though, you have to, you know, you got who you got, and that's who you've got to put out there and hope that you know, they can put enough together to take down a Wisconsin team. And we know these, you know, these guys see everything and they hear everything. But what do you think some of those discussions are like in the locker room with Coach Diebler, with the players, knowing what's being said outwardly about the program and just how they kind of need to be insulated to make a serious run here?
Well, yeah, I, you know, knowing Coach Diebler, I can tell you what the conversations are like, what they're about. You know, I think he's done a tremendous job. If anyone's been to practice or just pay attention to him on the sideline, you know, the fire, the enthusiasm that he brings every single day, that's just who he is. So the conversation is like, hey, guys, we're not out of this. You know, it's one game at a time, one possession at a time, and just a lot of encouragement to these guys. Obviously, it hurts a little bit, Mobley having a little injury, but no one cares about that. You know, no one's going to feel sorry for you at the end of the day. Everyone has injuries on their roster. It's just constant, hey, putting confidence in these guys, offensively, defensively, talking guys up that are now playing more than they did before. And like, hey, guys, we really have a really good chance of still making this dance. So let's continue to do so.
So real quick, I just want to, because Coach Diebler has come under fire a lot here recently from some of the fan base. You do not believe it is a coaching issue with this team, correct?
Correct. I'm not going to say it's a coaching issue. Because at the end of the day, and it's just my player's perspective, right? I will never blame it on a coach, right? And the reason I say this is because the coach doesn't make the turnovers. The coach doesn't let a guy go by him and score. The coach is not letting up offensive rebounds or missing wide open shots. And I understand, I'm not trying to be a fool. Obviously, being on both sides, understanding the importance of a coach and the culture that is built. And I think he's done a great job with his staff and building that culture. And I think he does a tremendous job, works hard, preparing a team the right way for every single game. But at some time, you are who you are, right? The talent level only takes you so far. So if you want to put that on him because these are the guys that he recruited, then yes, he has to take some of that blame. But I think the effort and what he's been doing night in, night out for this team, that I don't think that he's the blame. I'm not going to put that on all on his shoulders.
Scooney, you obviously played on a very talented team here at Ohio State, but it was an Ohio State team that you guys kind of helped turn the program around. Mm-hmm. It had been down for a couple years, and it seems like you had been with Jim O'Brien before. You came in here. You were kind of the missing piece to that. What were some things that you did as a player to try to help your team turn it around and believe in themselves?
I think the thing that I did most, if you ask any of my teammates, is I just believed that we were going to be good enough to win. I just had so much confidence, not only just in myself, but watching the guys that I was around every day work, that were the seniors that were tired of losing. You know, you had Jason Singleton, Nashawn Coleman. These guys have been in the program now for 3 years when I started playing with them, and they had never sniffed the NCAA tournament, and they wanted to play in it really bad. Like a situation that Bruce Thornton's in and Devin's in now, going his third year, not being able to be in the dance. And I had been in the dance twice already. I had confidence we were going to make it. So every single day in practice, these guys know the year I set out and then even the year that I started to play, like I approached every day like it was a game. And I was not going to be denied, because once you feel that taste of being in the dance, you do not want to miss that. So I was able to bring that here and tell that to the guys that I was playing with, that never experienced that. Like, you have to get there. And so now me telling these guys day in and day out about this feeling and what we need to work towards, you know, they started to buy in. And then you've seen the competitive nature every single day in practice, how we would get after each other. We had a certain level of toughness. But I thought also Coach also brought that, you know, with just how he was as a coach. And then I was like that as a player, and it just trickled down throughout the team. And then we just got hot and then got on a run.
Scooney, six opportunities, right? That's how you got to see them. Mm-hmm. Put yourself on the right side of the bubble. Wisconsin tonight at 8:30. What do you see the Buckeyes need to do to get a win against the Badgers on home court?
I think we're going to win tonight. I really do. The one thing that I think we need to do and that helps us is we got to take care of the ball first and foremost. I think we do a pretty good job in that. But when you play against a Wisconsin team, who's also, you know, these guys are also fighting. They also need to continue to win to get into the dance. It's not going to be no pushover. Wisconsin's never a pushover. I don't care what kind of team they have. It's just something about that badge of jersey that they always make it a tough out against them. But we need to, one, take care of the ball, control the tempo. But at this time of season, what I just said the last time I spoke, it's the toughness. I think that we need to come with toughness. We have to come with that hit you in the mouth mentality first. And if we do that, I think that carries throughout the game and that gives us such a better chance of winning. But if we come out and we're not ready to throw that first punch, that Wisconsin team tonight will give us a hard time.
It's always great when these two teams are playing for something, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're going to get that tonight at the Schottenstein Center. Scooney, thanks mm-hmm. so much for the time, bud. We look forward to checking in with you as we get closer to the madness, bud. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on.
And he joins us courtesy of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. We'll do three things on a Tuesday coming up next. Bishop and Friends.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Ball Impact Report is brought to you locally by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse. On the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Ohio State Football. Impact Report.
One of the other real new adds for Ohio State going to the 2026 roster is linebacker Christian Allegro, whom the Buckeyes plucked away from Wisconsin. Head coach Ryan Day took advantage of having seen him up front when the Badgers and the Buckeyes played.
I remember watching the film, which I didn't realize in game, and you know, the first part of the game, he didn't have a club on his hand. The second half of the game, he had this big cast on his hand, and come to find out, he had really, you know, broken his hand. I think he shattered his hand and went back into the game and played. And to me, I was like, wow. I mean, to me, that's a tough player. And when he became available, it was somebody we looked hard in and hard at and think that he can bring us a lot. He's a big, strong player, veteran guy, somebody that, again, brings a lot of experience to the table. So I think he'll help with that room because we have a lot of young, good players that are going to play a lot of football for us next year.
This report brought to you by Safelite Auto Glass on the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield. Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safelite Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at Safelite.com. Safelite Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Safelite Repair, Safelite Replace.
Buckeye fans, choose chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. It's got that crisp, refreshing taste that makes those moments when you choose to rise above the noise and choose chill even better. Coors Light is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics, so crack one open and take a sip. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Beer.
For over 37 years, Buckeye Nation has known Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse for serving the best steaks in the city. Our thick-cut, aged steaks are a staple in Columbus, with three locations in Upper Arlington, Dublin, and downtown. And just like the Buckeyes, we strive for excellence and an experience like no other. Hyde Park is proud to introduce the newly added wine room at our downtown Columbus location, where a new elegance in dining surrounds you, creating the ideal setting for any occasion or the perfect night out. Hyde Park is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Around here, it's all-wheel drive all year round. And Toyota has more all-wheel drive choices than anyone. Now through March 2nd, get 4.99 APR financing on a new 26 Corolla or Corolla Hybrid. Excludes GR and Corolla Cross. Or lease a new gas-powered Corolla LE for $199 a month for 39 months with $36.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS. Tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
We'll read your emails on the air, but we won't tell you where to send them. Hey, we're not doing all the work for you. This is Bishop and Friends.
You hear that? Thursday at 10 a.m., we'll read your emails, But the big voice guy said it. We won't tell you where to send them. There's nothing I can do about that.
It's in the contract.
Right. Contractually obligated to not give out the email address. But at 971thefan.com, if you go there, click on the Bishop and Friends show page, that will have the proper link. So I kind of did just tell you, but I didn't. You'll have to do the work yourself. We'll read your emails again Thursday at 10 a.m. We'll do Hey Guys tomorrow at 11. So you can get those Hey Guys questions in at 971BFS. And then tomorrow on the YouTube chat, you send them to me now on the YouTube chat. I'm not going to really have the chance to go through them. And I have no faith in myself to be able to save them for tomorrow. But the Daily Fan Poll, which you can find at 971thefan.com. Josh Pate recently called Ohio State the top program in the country for college football. Do you agree with him? 81% say yes. I'm curious to know who the other 19% would think is a better college football program right now. Right now.
Indiana? Recency bias?
I would say on the field, sure.
Maybe Georgia?
Yeah. Those are valid.
That's probably it. That's where that list ends, I think.
Because I think you're going to see another thing coming up next week with the 11 Buckeyes going to Indianapolis. And then April 23rd, I think, is the first round of the NFL draft in Pittsburgh. Probably Fernando Mendoza. Then Buckeyes.
I believe I also saw that if Ohio State gets the 5 first-round draft picks that it sounds like they will, that will put them at 100, and they will be the first football program to have 100 first-round NFL draft picks.
So that'd be Arvell Reese, Carnell Tate, Caleb Downs, Sonny Styles, and Caden McDonald.
Caden McDonald. He's projected later on in the first
truly
round.
Truly developed here. Look, you've already printed the shirts, so as long as you've got guys going to the NFL, you can still... That moniker still counts.
One, two, one, two,
three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
And I guess you've printed more than just the shirts. You've printed banners and posters and other stuff like that. So, yeah, if they get over that 100 or they get to that 100 mark, yeah, it'll count. First thing for me, I don't think I watched any sports last night outside of that 8 o'clock Olympic daily that NBC has. Like, I saw the 41-year-old mother of two win in the monobob, the bobsled. That was their first Olympic gold
41 years old.
Alana Myers. So great job out of her. But I did take the evening to catch up on Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, which is tremendous. If you've got HBO and you are waiting to give that a shot because of how bad House of the Dragon was and how bad the last couple of seasons of Game of Thrones were, this is awesome. It's awesome as a standalone. It helps to have kind of the context from the greater Westeros. If I know you're not a Game of Thrones fan or you haven't seen Game of Thrones, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms crushes it. But you don't need to extend it too long. It can be maybe one or two seasons.
We've talked a lot about Ohio State basketball on this show today and this week, and maybe not great Ohio State basketball. 35 years ago today, though, in my opinion, it was peak and the pinnacle of Ohio State basketball, and maybe the greatest Ohio State basketball game ever played when number 2 Ohio State took on number 4 Indiana at St. John Arena. It was a Sunday afternoon. Two of my favorites of all time, Keith Jackson and Dick Vitale, were on the call in double overtime. Ohio State beat Indiana 97-95. Jimmy Jackson, 30 points and 11 rebounds in that game for the Buckeyes. Damon Bailey scored 32 for Indiana. Calbert Chaney was also on that Indiana team. That's the greatest, maybe the greatest sports game I've ever watched in my lifetime, and definitely the greatest Ohio State men's basketball game.
My first thing, you guys got to be careful what you're doing online. Right now, trending on Twitter, Our friend Hugh Freeze got on Instagram. Unfortunately, there's a new thing on Instagram where you can hit the repost button. Kind of looks like you're liking the post, but you're not, and it reposted to your page. And he unfortunately reposted a scantily clad woman doing some cute little dances. So Hugh, my friend, just scroll. You don't gotta interact. Don't even like it. Just scroll past, enjoy what you see, and just keep it moving. Easy on the clicks, buddy.
That rascal Hugh
slid in those DMs like Sharon.
Being horny online. And I wonder, if it's even a mistake. If he's saying, I like this, perhaps you might also like this to his friends and followers on IG.
I understand why maybe he would like it.
Who's to say? Second thing for me, so you're seeing a lot of chatter from Adam Silver coming out of NBA's All-Star Weekend about how they're trying to get around teams tanking. And he talked, that every possible solution's on the table. I think you publicly humiliate the teams that you have evidence they've tanked. You don't cancel the NBA draft lottery. You don't kick teams out of lottery picks. You allow them to see what position they would have picked at had they not been tanking, and then you crush their ping pong ball live on the air, and you make the play-in teams. Those are the teams that have the position that you give for the draft lottery. Because at least play-in teams are trying.
Got to find a way, right? Somehow, some way. Second thing for me, I saw this, and I am a big fan of the pugilist sports, whether it be MMA or boxing. I think MMA is a little better right now than boxing, but 59-year-old Mike Tyson is set to square off against 48-year-old Floyd Mayweather in an exhibition boxing match.
What are we doing?
In Congo, in Africa, on April 25th. Then also I saw this. Ronda Rousey is coming out of retirement to face an also coming out of retirement Gina Carano. Now, they're not quite as old. Rousey's 39, Carano's 43. This is going to be May 16th at the Intuit Dome in L.A. Rousey hasn't fought in a decade. 2016 was the last time she fought.
She's done some wrestling.
Gina Carano hasn't fought since 2009. I know these things are making money and people are watching, but do we need this?
I don't know.
Do we need 60-year-old Mike Tyson dying in the ring? No, we don't need this.
I mean, Gina Carano fought Hollywood, so they've both had scuffles. It's no interest for me.
Second thing for me, I'm a high school lacrosse coach, and yesterday we kicked off the first day of practice, which is a great day for me. Also, shout out the Buckeyes lacrosse team, 4-0, ninth in the country, putting together another great campaign.
So this, where do we coach at?
Yeah, hold on. This will be our final thing because we're just running out of time because I'm bad at clock management.
Where I coach out in Johnstown on the east side.
All right.
Been doing that for a while now.
It's a heck of a drive for you.
It's far, man. I want those kids to really appreciate that their coach drives an hour every day. But this will be my fifth season out there coaching.
Good work working with the youth. Baker, it's good to work with you. We'll do it again tomorrow. Bo Bishop will be back. Bishop and Friends, 9 to noon, right here on The Fan.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Sex.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FIRST.